Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 101, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of June 16th, 2014. I am your host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
it's
USA.
It's not morning anymore, it's afternoon for me, it's 12.
Yeah, well, so what?
I think it's I was like, good morning, I'm like, it was in public, it's 12, I think it's morning.
Yeah, maybe people are downloading this first thing in the morning, and then that's when they listen to it. So it's still valid. Yeah. All right, well, we've got a lot to talk about. Well, not as much as in some previous weeks. We just have One Piece to talk about, and of course, the chapters this week. So, yeah, let's go ahead and start off with the news, shall we?
Sure.
All right, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for June 2nd through the 8th. And in 10th place, we have Hana Sakaru Seishonen Special Edition 5.
What is that again, I wonder? Mm-hmm. Anyways, 9th place, Aohara Ride Volume 10.
8th place, World Trigger Volume 6.
7th place, Saint Young Man Volume 10.
6th place, Yowamushi Pedal Volume 34.
5th place, Beelzebub, Volume 27. Wow.
4th place, Claymore, Volume 26.
3rd place, Toriko, Volume 30.
2nd place, Haikyuu, Volume 11.
And 1st place, One Piece, Volume 74. That's kind of funny, because it's off this weekend. Somehow it's still selling.
Yeah.
This is the week of June 8th.
Well, this is... Yeah, that was. I think it was still off. I don't know, but yeah, this is,
still
has the, this is the Tankobon, not anything else.
Gosh, yeah. I don't see any Attack on Titan up in the top 10 now, do I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it may have calmed down now. So.
Yeah, until they make a second season anime, and then like, oh, it's back up again. I'm like, dang it, you guys.
Yeah.
Also, One Piece Volume 73 is in 43rd place. Just to mention that.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about the New York Times manga bestseller list for June 1st through 7th.
Okay.
And in 10th place, we have Kami Summer Kiss Volume 15.
In 9th place, One Piece Volume 71.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're only like three volumes behind. In 8th place, Monster Musume Volume 3.
7th place, Pokemon Black and White Volume 16.
6th place, Millennium Snow, Volume 3.
What is that? 5th place, Soul Eater, Volume 20.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
No, that wasn't on the thing. 3rd place, Seraph of the End, Volume 1. 3rd place.
2nd place, High School DD, Volume 1.
I like that series. 1st place, Pokemon Adventures, Diamond and Pearl, Platinum, Volume 11.
Cool. All right, let's see, and we have a quick, small list of the North American anime and manga releases for June 8th through the 14th.
Oh, it's short.
And for the anime releases, we have Data Live, DVD Complete, DVD Complete and Blu-ray, that's weird, DVD Blu-ray Complete Series, they typed that up weird, and Limited Edition.
But they typed it up. It looks well. About this one, I looked it up, and I think it's kind of similar to The World God Only Knows in a way. Well, not like that, but it's got a similar premise to it. Is what I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks like one of those ones that I'm not interested in. So
yes, it's one of those harem series. Anyways, Dog and Scissors DVD Complete Collection.
Carnival DVD Blu-ray Series and Limited Edition.
Leviathan, The Last Defense, Blu-ray, Complete Collection, and DVD, Complete Collection.
And Maoyu, Blu-ray and DVD, Complete Collections.
Yeah, that series is, I try to read it. It's really, really strange. Yeah. I mean, it's not boring. It's just very, let's just say, if you're not really fond of politics, then you probably shouldn't read it, because oh my goodness, man.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
I would describe it as basically it's like you take the typical main hero and a typical main evil villain female for some reason, and the main and basically one of them says, "Hey, you know what? We should try and really stop this fighting and make sure it never happens again." I'm like, "So you're trying to cause an everlasting peace? Good luck with that."
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I tried watching the first two episodes. Actually, I tried watching the first episode and decided, you know what, this is boring.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm all for peace. And hypocritically, I am also against it.
It has nothing to do with that. It's just not a very interesting series.
It's just not interesting. I
don't know. Apparently, it's like a light novel that was made off of a thread on 2chan. And I'm just like,
dang it, 2chan, why are you always doing this stuff?
Yeah, it's like, okay, look, that's not how you make an interesting series. So, oh well.
Okay, manga releases.
Yes, the manga releases, and unfortunately, yeah, there is, pardon, not much here. We've got the Arata, the Legend, Volume 18.
Crimson Spell, Volume 4.
Dead Man Wonderland, Volume 3.
Manji, Volume 6.
Say I Love You, Volume 2.
And Tiger and Bunny, Volume 5.
Indeed. Alright, and for other releases, we have the Gurren Lagann Artworks Art Book.
I'm at episode 21 of the series right now.
How many are there again?
27, and a movie. Not sure if the movie's canon, but I'm quite sure the movie's part of it, too.
Gotcha. Fun times.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, that's a series that I need to watch.
You gotta watch it. If you're a fan of Gainax, you're a fan of Gainax, of course, watch it. But if you're a fan of Neon Genesis Alien, Gainax produced, watch it anyway. You're just if you can't, you just have to roll along with the series. If you try and look at it in like a very objective or way of going, is it trying to be serious? Because it's not being serious. No, you just have to enjoy it. If you can't let go and enjoy it, then don't watch it.
Yeah, I started watching it, but then I stopped. So, I don't know.
Keep watching it. Just watch the 27 episodes.
Well, this isn't an anime podcast. This is a manga podcast. So, what else we got?
Miku Color, Case, Hatsune Miku Illustration Works Art Book, and Rage of Bahamut Official Artworks Art Book. Dang it, I have to say it like that. What the heck?
Yeah, it's weird. Alright, let's see. What other news do we have?
This is the most interesting piece of news I've found in this year so far.
Oh, yeah.
Stealing One Piece doesn't make you king of the criminals. I found this off Kotaku. An 18-year-old and his 9-year-old friend have been arrested for allegedly stealing a large amount of manga. How much did they try and steal? 76 manga copies.
Jeez.
Okay, let me just say this. I remember a couple many podcasts ago, I kept saying I bought like 120 volumes off a lie. I sort of got mixed up with the amount of money I used to pay to get it for some reason. I actually got 28 volumes that day instead, not 70 whatever heck it was. I would have been dead if I tried to get it. So I can't understand how the heck did they get away with 76 copies. But yeah, they didn't get away, but still, I was like, how did they carry that much in the first place?
Yeah, I don't understand why, I don't know, why people in Japan keep insisting on trying to steal manga and then sell it to, like, used bookstores and whatnot. Because, like, look, seriously, if you want to be a criminal and make some money, you really need to go for something that's easier to get away with. Because, I mean,
like a bank robbery?
No, something less obvious, you know? I mean, it's like, oh, you grab it like, I don't know, it's like you grab it once, you grab the entire series and then run. It's like, you know, even if you get away without anyone noticing you at first, eventually they're going to check the cameras and they're going to see it. So, yeah, and it's like just, yeah, stealing an entire 70 plus, 74 volume series of manga, that just, come on. Why? Just,
I found it hilarious. I was like, well, look, One Piece on the news again. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, oh, guys, you people, there's no way you can deal that much and get away.
Yeah, I'd like to see someone try to steal the colossal 5-10 volumes of Attack on Titan in one go.
That'd be kind of funny.
Be like, sir, why is your pocket bulging? It's I got a really big pimple. That's what I got. You don't want to see it. It's gonna pop really bad. You touch it. Why is it square shaped? Mm. It's a special square shaped giant big pimple. I think I just chased away a couple of our listeners.
Yes, you did. You almost chased me away. So stop that. All right. That weirdness aside.
They did it for money.
Yeah, pretty much, which I'm just like, oh, come on, there's easier ways to get money than, you know, that.
Well, but, here's another piece of news that people should be proud of, if they live in Canada.
Yes.
This is actually from Anime News Network itself. Apparently there's a giveaway of Berserk Volumes 1 through 37, and the only way to get it is if you're Canadian. We're not Canadian, so we're not going to get it.
Hmm.
I'm just saying it because I'm quite sure someone from Canada probably listening in on this, and they probably go, oh, I didn't know about this, sweet, and then just go check out the site. The news is pretty much called the Dark Lord Loves Canada giveaway. And there's no
giving away Canada?
Sweet. No. Well, it'd be funny if it was, but no. I don't think Canada ever become the 51st day of the United States. Yeah, 51st. I keep bringing that black joke manga. I keep thinking Japan is the 51st day of the United States every time. I keep...
Stop reading that.
That's a... Hey, I like that. I like that series. It's ridiculously...
Yeah.
Ridiculously a joke. Anyways. Mm. Yeah, so yeah, you're Canadian. Well, be happy. You can get that. Just look up the news article that says the Dark Lord Loves Canada giveaway.
Mm. Yes. All right. Sounds good. And yeah, basically all you have to do is you fill out the little form that's on the page itself. So
you must be 18 and up, because you try to read it. If you're 18 and younger, you're probably get traumatized. You don't want to read it at all, mm-hmm. personally, unless you really have the stomach to stomach through it.
Yeah.
We can't.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's the next bit of news?
Vagabond's manga's return delayed until fall. It was supposed to be coming back in the summer, but, well, it turns out that it might be delayed because of Inoue Takahiko's work on Tokubetsu Ten Goudi X Takahiko Inoue's... what the... Is that the actual name? Tokubetsu Ten Goudi?
I think it's like a title kind of thing. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, and then, okay, let me just finish the title. Tokubetsu Ten Goudi X Takahiko Inoue Sinprosu Sozo no Gensen. Basically, he interprets Goudi's universe. It's a art exhibition? Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
I'm totally confused after just reading that. And I read this before. I still don't understand what's going on with it, but So I'm guessing it's being delayed until fall because he's working on an art exhibition about Galaxy?
I guess. Interesting. Have you been keeping up with that manga?
Yeah, I have. Mm. It just hasn't
released lately. Mm. Yeah. Okay. I should look into that sometime. I mean, I started looking into it, but then I was like, this isn't quite what I'm looking for. So
just remember, it's a fictionalized version of Miyamoto Musashi's life.
It's also set in like feudal Japan, and life for people in feudal Japan kind of sucked. So I was this is a downer.
Trust me, you think that's a downer. When can you get to one of the arcs where it's all about growing rice? That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, that's totally going to get me to read it. It's like, if I say I'm not reading this because it's a downer and say, oh, you haven't seen the downer yet, I'm like, okay, yeah, and I'm not going to because I'm not going to read it. Thank you.
Yeesh. Well, it's sent to you, Japan. You never know. It might have stuff that you don't like in it.
Yeah. That's kind of why I haven't read it.
Yeah.
But anyway, what else do we have?
Probably should read it. I think it has stuff you don't like in it. Anyways, Clamp is going to launch a new Tsubasa manga series in August. And it seems to be connected to XXX Holic Rave.
Hmm. Okay.
The Kodansha magazine special teased it as a new story connected to that Ray series.
Hmm.
I never read Tsubasa Chronicles, so I don't even know.
Yeah, no, me neither. Like, I read some chapters here and there. I read Holic here and there. I watched some of the anime OVAs and whatnot, but never really got into the series.
Slap is the only, I guess, what, publisher that I guess can't get in their series because they were around like in the old days, so it's just harder. And now that, you know, now I have the chance, it's just I get into the other stuff more instead of
It is. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just because a lot of, I don't know, I kind of feel like a lot of the references to their old work make it a little hard to really get into some of their series.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Oh, well, let's see what
else.
Kind
of like with Disney and kind of like Kingdom Hearts with Disney and stuff. Anyways, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag manga is going to end in July. I mentioned that because I'm sure some people play Assassin's Creed.
I didn't even know they had a manga.
I played a bit of the first game. It's actually not bad. Hmm. Actually, I could probably play if I want to, but I don't want to play. Stealth games are the worst things I'm worst at. Because I don't like hiding. I like to go up and just shoot things in the face. Or stab them in the face. Or cut them in the face. And then get punched like a million miles away and die.
Yeah.
Thanks. And again, Left 4 Dead isn't a stealth game anyway. But it's going to end in July on July 7th.
Yeah, the art.
That's
from
the
what
Tanabata
I see there.
Day.
Yeah,
that's
the art from what I see there doesn't look very impressive. So I'm thinking,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, and I didn't even know. I don't know. It's a tie-in manga, so I'm not interested really. So
I don't. Yeah, it doesn't even look like it. It doesn't look like it follows the 18th century in the Caribbean Sea. Like, why is the guy wearing modern clothes?
Well, I mean, the series switches between, you know, the modern stuff and the stuff in the past.
But, that is true, yeah.
So that's probably what that's all about. But anyway, let's see. Got some press releases from Yen Press.
Licenses, Akame ga Kill, Sword Art Online, Progressive, and Kagero Days. Which one are you here about?
The Akame ga Kill.
I like it.
It's too cartoonish. It's like a little kid trying to be serious and, you know, dark and deep. But at the same time, I just get down to it as like, no, you're just scratching at the surface of what a proper deep, dark story is, you know. It's like the entire country is filled with people that like to torture and murder people. I'm like, while that was true at certain points in history, it's still
the Spanish
feels
Inquisition.
That wasn't the entire damn country.
The Spanish Inquisition.
It wasn't the entire damn country.
Doesn't matter. Spanish Inquisition.
Yes, it does matter. This is an entire kingdom filled of people that everyone does awful things there, and I'm just.
That is true. They're crazy.
Yeah, and I'm just it. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's one of those series where, you know, they do all the. Oh, hey, look, all these characters dying. You got to like these characters, did you? And I was like, yeah, except I've been reading manga for close to a decade. So, you know what? I'm not falling for this.
So, wait, why is it that this series would not work for you, yet Attack on Titan does?
Well, because Attack on Titan takes itself, well, I don't know. Attack on Titan takes itself more seriously and is more serious. This is just gratuitous, you know? Like, you know, I mean, with Attack on Titan, there's, you know, you've got layers of, you know, awful people or good people, etc. Well, with this one, it's just far too over the top, you know? Like, there's no middle ground. It's, oh, look at how nice and innocent I am. Oh, hey, look, I tortured and disemboweled your best friend.
This series is totally insane, and I'll say it has more content than Attack on Titan does. Except Attack on Titan is more respected in that, it, like you said, does take itself seriously. And this one has stuff that some people would not like, I would say.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, the torture is nothing. You have to see some of the stuff you're not going to like.
I already read a good chunk of it, so.
Yeah, I stopped at some point, and I was like, I want to continue, but I haven't found the time to continue.
Yeah, and it's just the characters are just ridiculous. You know, it's just, no, it's too over the top. Attack on Titan manages to be violent and gory, while this series takes it too far, and it's just not entertaining.
Well, I like over the top at times. Yeah. Sorry, that's
and it's and the characters about. Are. And
why
the
did I just say
terrible.
Anime? I meant manga. Oh. Anyways, I don't know what Kagero Days is. Sort of Online Progress is apparently about the females. Focuses on the females or something. Of the series.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, certainly interesting.
It's a retelling expansion of the Sword Online Aincrad. I'm quite sure it's focused on the females, but okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. What else do we have?
Oh, now this is news. Viz Media finally adds the first part of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Phantom Blood.
Excellent. Now we can go over it again, volume by volume, and then we'll have an excuse to start going over part two.
Also, for those who love, I'm going to say, this series is like when did it first publish? 1970s or something, I think it was? 80s? When was it? 70s.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, it's pretty old. So, just enjoy. It's meant to be over the top, ridiculously, and yet somehow at the same time, people can take it seriously in a really fun way.
Yeah, it's quite true.
Seriously, all those JoJo memes are just... I freaking love it. That's probably the only type of meme I'll probably like out of everything that's appeared so far.
It's definitely a good opportunity because, I mean, the release of Part 3 in the U.S. was always kind of weird and it had interesting translate... You know, it was kind of like that older... translation, so it had its issues, but this will be fun, I think. We'll see what, yeah, we're kind of starting from the beginning with modern translations, and we'll probably also get a retranslation of the of the part three, but of course we need to get through part one first, so I'm interested to see, does it have a release date on there?
No, not really. They say more announcements will be coming in July.
Okay, yeah, let me...
It's good. There'll be more announcements on July 3rd, supposedly.
Okay, yeah, let me check Amazon, see if I can find anything on there. Let's see, Adventure still just... Let's see, part one, let's see what they have there. No, yeah, they don't have anything on Amazon yet. Oh, well, fair enough. All right.
Also, for the record, just to promote the anime series, I'd say watch the anime too to get a chance. It closely follows the manga series in its own way. I mean, it's not completely like it, but it does follow it, which is good. Which is good.
Yes.
Start from the first part, people. Don't start from the current one.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, as soon as it comes out, once we know more, we'll definitely be going over this as the volumes come out. But for now, last bit of news.
Yeah, this is kind of weird, but interesting, and kind of amazing. Yeah, I still understand who this person was. Japan Sinks, author Sakio Komatsu's first manga discovered in the U.S. Wait, he was in the U.S.? What? Okay, it's sci-fi pioneer's long-lost debut work discovered by fans searching through the database.
Interesting. Yeah, so I wonder what it what it was doing there.
I don't know, to be honest. There's a lot about this. Apparently Japan Sinks was one of those popular works that was so popular that it had like two live action films and a live action television series. Mm-hmm. And the novel sold over 3 million copies and won an award from the Mystery Writers of Japan. Is it Mystery or Misery? I think there's a T missing in that word there.
Probably. I don't think misery is a genre.
Yeah, also, he passed away about 3 years ago at the age of 80.
Alright, I don't think I've read any of his stuff yet.
No, not at all. I didn't even know. I'm trying to see what other works that he may have done, but... Oh, Leiji Matsumoto is a longtime friend of his, and I think that guy's still
alive. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Alright, cool. Well, I think that does it for the news, right?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. In that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. It's time for the manga review section for the week of June 16th, and this time we have One Piece volumes 43, 44, and 45. And starting off with volume 43 is... It's basically everyone's fights. Yeah.
Well, just it's pretty much generally Nami, Sanji, and Zoro's fight.
And so I really have to say that out of the fights in this arc, I think I might like Nami's best.
Yeah.
Just because it was one of the first times that we really saw her, you know, really properly winning one. I mean, we've seen her win before, but this is like one of the first times we saw her win without struggling really, really, really hard to win, you know? Because, I mean, in Alabasta, she won, and it was great. And then Skypiea, she didn't really have a proper fight. But with this one, it was, you know, Nami properly using her abilities to win the fight. And that was a lot of fun.
But both her abilities, yes, you have to actually have time on her side. You can't just blast a move out like all the others, because you have to like actually be strategic about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, like why I want to strengthen him, I gotta make my clones here, set that lightning bolt here, thundercloud here, and then yeah, I'm like, yeesh. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's
she's not like Batman. She just needs time and preparation. She'll kick anyone's butt. Well, most anyone's butt.
A bit, yeah. And the mirages that she uses are really funny. Because, yeah, you know, they got them all just kind of distorted looking.
And it's kind of funny about how some of the mirages, like the sound effects, like neon. I'm like, neon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, a few arcs later, like about mm-hmm. three arcs later, we're going to see... We're going to see a character with that name. Let's see.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. It's, you know, I think it's just kind of amusing. After, yeah, just named I know, after just, the sound effect.
Probably, but it's just kind of amusing, though.
Yeah.
That and the various mirages designs are like, huh, you know?
Yep, and I think, and also this was the first time that we see Sanji and Zoro's, you know, special attacks
that they developed.
That's kind of what this arc was for, and it's kind of interesting how we can be forgiving of Oda for introducing everyone's special attacks without having developed it beforehand.
We can forgive them for letting the characters pull out stuff out of their butts for no reason somehow, but...
Yeah,
but it works because even though there's kind of like a slight build-up in some way, you know.
It is properly executed, I find.
Yeah.
Because the main thing that I think we can take away from this is that it works for us because Oda doesn't, you know, have it. I don't know. It's like he doesn't have it just come out of nowhere entirely. There is some build-up, and he also gives it to us after a big, you know, satisfying fight. It's like that's he makes sure that the fight is satisfying on its own, and then we can be more forgiving about, you know, the the wrap up, the finale, the final attack of the fight coming from something that we hadn't seen before. And so in it,
I really like Sanji's new move. I was like, holy crap, his leg is on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not on fire, it's just freaking like a it's like if you place your hand on the stove long and then go red, but this one he doesn't feel it. He just freaking uses it as his own advantage.
Yeah, it's basically he spins a lot and the friction causes his leg to start glowing hot. And the way it's drawn in the manga is absolutely gorgeous. Like you get the sense of there is fire here just from Oda's use of blank space and the way he uses the shading. It's just absolutely fantastic the way he draws that. And that's part of what makes it, you know, what makes it worth it is just seeing how well executed it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I really do like this. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen him use it more often, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Did we see him use it once again?
I know he's used it before, but never as, you know, like, I don't know, he doesn't seem to use it that
casually
anymore.
I don't think he can, because remember, he's spinning the frickin', he could probably burn his leg off if he does it too often. Think about it. And then with Zoro, man, Zoro was kind of amusing because it was like, it's like, at first I was like, wait a sec, wait, what, like, I saw a little panel and it's supposed to be like Asura, and then Ezekaka's like, wait, I saw something. And I'm like, wait, oh my god, you saw me too.
I really love the fight with Kaku and Zoro, just because once in this volume, when we get down to it, it's just hilarious with Kaku trying out all these silly things like his giraffe blast where he sucks his neck in. He's like, observe the giraffe's power, and Zoro's like, real giraffes aren't like that.
There was also the one where he pretty much sucked into his entire self in and became like a friggin' square, and I was like, Kaku.
Yeah.
Kaku means square in Japanese, so like Kaku. Ultimate defensive move, Kaku.
And it's also really funny how he's at a bit of a disadvantage because he doesn't entirely understand how his body works. Mm-hmm. So he ends up making his legs taller, which look more like the legs of a proper giraffe. But yeah, it's like oh no, I pulled my neck in so far, my legs grew. It's like a pasta machine. You put in dough and noodles come out. And then he stands up and is like, pasta machine. He's like, this is no time for naming techniques. This one's just so much fun just because Kaku is just ridiculous.
Kaku's a badass, but he just couldn't take it seriously. He's all like, god damn, why the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. And I don't get, some of Zoro's attack names are just weird. It's like three sword style. Leopard spinning balls. It's just, it sounds like he screwed up halfway through there.
Well, in the Japanese, it's a double pun. Like, it's like, was it Otoru's, like, climb the wall, but it can also mean, what was it? Something about fatty or tuna or something.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's tuna something. But yeah, and then of course we get the finale of Zoro's fight where he overpowers Kaku's six sword style by
four sword style.
Is it four sword?
Sorry, Yonto.
I thought it was six swords because he
it's four.
His head, neck, and his tail as well. Oh.
Well, he's really a four sword person.
Yeah,
the six sword is Haki.
Ah, yeah, true, yeah. Yeah, and then Zoro uses the nine sword style by creating a demon aura that gives him, that turns him into Asura, basically, with, six arms and three heads. Uh-huh. And I think we've seen him use it before, but, only once, after this, but only, once. But, yeah, it's another one of those ones where it comes out of nowhere, but it's so badass that you don't care. You know? So, yeah, and then of course you get the continuation of Luffy and Lucci's fight and focus on Robin getting saved by everyone else that's finished their fights. So it's, yeah. Whew. Yeah, so it's a really good volume. It's definitely a lot of fun, and we're kind of coming to the end of this arc.
Yep.
And so this is pretty awesome. And definitely, I mean, again, anyone that hasn't been reading this, you get to this point, you really need to read this. It's really great. It's really, really, really good. You know? So, alright. Shall we move on to volume 44?
Yeah, there wasn't much to say about 43 except for those things.
Yeah. I think 44 is, the majority of it does focus on, it focuses on the fight between Lucci and Luffy and the beginning of the Buster Call.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and also Spandam getting beaten to heck.
Yeah, it was funny. You slapped him.
Yeah, and it's pretty much that's the majority of it. It's, you've got Luffy fighting Lucci, the Buster Call happening, all the Vice Admirals coming after Luffy's crew. And it turns out that one of them has some kind of, rusting and corroding power, and he destroys Zoro's, which one was it?
Yubashiri. Yubashiri. The one that won Shopkeeper game for free.
Yeah. And then, so,
he sort of gets destroyed. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, that one was just like, oh man, no. And it just happens in like a small panel, yet at the same time you're just like, oh geez, that sucks. And yeah, and so yeah, specifics aren't really necessary, but Luffy finally manages to defeat Lucci. And he, let's see, wait, where does he reveal it?
You mean about his third gear?
Yeah, which
yeah, part? it's this volume 2.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that does, yeah.
Chapter 421.
Okay, yeah, he uses that, and I get, yeah, he smashes the thingies. Yeah, he smashes
like,
the shit.
It's like a giant. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we also get the reveal that that Kokoro is a mermaid.
A dugong, actually.
Yeah, you've got Sanji is Sanji and Zoro and, you know, a bunch of the others are all saved by a... all saved by, all fall in the water, and they're all saved by a mermaid. And then it turns out it's Kokoro, and you get one of the most... You get probably one of the freakiest things he's ever drawn, her wearing nothing but a clamshell bikini.
And it's probably where Oda's like, I don't want to draw women like this anyway. Wait, actually, after that certain yeah. arc, then he stopped doing it.
Yeah, and then it's like... and then just like that scene with Franky as he's like defending the ship, and he's like, man... where is everyone? And then she just jumps out of the water and is like, don't you die on me. And Frank is like, ah!
Oh, yeah, no. She was like, oh, everybody seemed like they were like, they saw a devil something. And then Frank's like, it was your fault.
Yeah. And of course, you. And of course, you also find out that she says, oh, yeah, you know, when mermaids turn, let's see, what was it?
30.
Yeah, 30, they, you know, their tail fin splits in two. And so, it's like, that's how you can walk on land. And I'm just like, oh, that... Yeah, and it's like, mermaids are a mysterious species.
It's kind of funny how Chimney didn't know that, though.
Yeah. How who? Chimney?
Chimney.
Oh, yeah. Chimney. It is kind of odd, yeah.
It's yeah. like, granddaughter, how come you didn't know that?
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, they say when a cat lives a 100 years, its tail splits in two and it becomes a monster. And Santa's like, oh, a cat monster. He's like, don't lump us together. He's like, how about a simple thank you? But.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny stuff going on. This is kind of like, you know, the big, you know, the big climax of the arc. And also, of course, the big reveal of Luffy's, you know, special. You know, second special attack that he can use to smash warships.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he manages to defeat Lucci, and then they escape. And thanks to the, the the Going Merry that comes and somehow manages to sail over there and comes to save them. Except then it falls apart.
Yeah.
And then it's like, talks about how they, oh, hey, yeah, we saw the, you know, it was like, Iceberg was like, oh, yeah, I heard I heard its voice. And then, of course, since it's destroyed, they have to give it a funeral, which means burning the ship.
They gave it a Viking burial.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty
a much. I thought you liked Vikings. How am I not excited about this?
And a lot of people buried people by burning them at sea. I think it was pretty common along places that lived on the coast.
I suppose, but
yeah, okay. It is a Viking burial minus the body.
Minus the body. The body is the ship.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, about the volume itself, there's something that's on the point like the part where how they got Robin to be free with the number 5 key.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering why didn't Lucci get to keep the key that would free Robin?
That does seem like a bit of an oversight, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like oh, one of them has it. It's like, okay, split up and get him. Like, okay, maybe to buy time.
It's like, granted, it would be kind of obvious that Lucci would be the one with the key, but at the same time, it's kind of, well, yeah, but he'd be really hard to get it from. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, also...
But then this one was fandom one. He's like, I want to make sure that they can't win no matter what. And then he'd be the greatest douchebag in this entire series.
Well, he already is.
he already is.
Yeah, but getting back to the ship, you heartless bastard.
Fine.
Trying to distract us from the important part. is, we... Yeah, everyone basically has their... you know, has their memories of the ship.
Yeah.
And it is quite sad, and everyone starts crying.
And, because of them. And yeah.
And then, as, you know, as it's burning up, the Mary, and they hear the voice of the Mary as it, he, she, it apologizes about how he, she, it wanted to kill. I don't know what it is. I think it's a he.
Just call it a she. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, they normally call ships she's, she, yeah. Don't they? Yeah. It apologizes for not being able to carry them further. And excuse me one second. I need to wipe my, I need to dry my eyes. It's so sad. No, legitimately, just going over that again makes me start crying again. So this is kind of the big moment that One Piece fans always like to bring up, where the moment they cried over this, over the boat. And no other series can do that.
Seriously. Yes, true. No other series has done that.
Mm-hmm. It would have, but yeah, I mean, on one hand, you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's like you're crying over an inanimate object, but at the same time, it was still a character. It had a personality, and it did actually, you know, have like a, you know, it did have a voice. And so it's not like Oda managed to make us cry over a completely inanimate object. He did animate it a bit. So that, you know, you just, that's kind of the thing that really, you know, mm-hmm. makes everyone, makes the readers and makes all the characters kind of just choke up and be unable to.
My tears were already used up for the anime version.
Yeah. The only ones that don't cry are Zoro and Robin, because.
And Sanji.
He's looking away. He's clearly trying to hide his tears. Or at least,
well, okay.
Yeah, we don't see any actual evidence of him crying either, but you don't see his eyes, so as far as I'm concerned, that means he's crying. He just doesn't want anyone to see.
He just smokes, like, I'm not crying.
He's like, I'm not crying, damn it. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not
That's Frankie's job. What the Frankie's the one who's like, I'm not crying, you fool.
Yeah, and he's crying like crazy, even though it's like, wait, you didn't know the ship. So... yeah, that was it. That was the big moment.
Oh, yeah, it was a big moment.
And, yeah, people, it doesn't matter how many times you read it, you will always cry when that happens. Even just skimming over it to,
yeah.
During a review, you will cry.
I had to fight my tears.
I had to wipe them off because they started to burn my eyes.
They can do that? Okay, I'm okay, so there's other parts of the volume I want to point out, like when Luffy's second gear was actually more elaborated on, like about how it worked, like
Oh yeah.
Lucci described it as a doping or something, right?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah, like that. I was like, oh boy, that's pretty dangerous. You know?
Yeah, well they do describe it as, I think they do explain that every time Luffy uses it, he's cutting, you know, time off of his life. Except I don't think he really cares.
Yeah, of course he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's all the third gear. Which is just kind of funny about this arc. This arc, Luffy got, like, two new abilities at once.
Yeah. But the thing is, they both make sense. It's just the only downside is we didn't ever see him develop them. But they make sense for him.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense because of how dire the situation is, and because of, you know, Aokiji, his fight with Aokiji pretty much made me realize, I gotta be stronger, man. I gotta be stronger than everyone.
Yeah, and it also helps that, of course, there's the downside to it, namely, if you do it, you're going to, you know, lose a lot of life.
And there's or also, if you fear third, you turn small for like a minute or however long you use it for.
Exactly.
If it's a minute, then you stay small for a minute. You use it for 5 minutes, and then you stay small for 5 minutes. Like, oh, crap, run.
Yeah, I remember at the time reading this, I started thinking, oh, what could be his next ability, you know, the next ability that takes advantage of his rubber body. And that's really what makes these great, is that Oda decided to give his character an ability that's just so non-shonen, standard shonen hero, and yet he manages to use it to make him a very, you know, give him very, you know, the standard shonen power-ups and everything in a way that makes sense and makes it a lot more interesting, because, you know, you can have a character who's always like, oh, I'm powering up my ability to, I don't know, punch harder or whatnot. But with Luffy, it's just so much more interesting because it's so bizarre.
And it works because it's basically perfect for his mm-hmm. power, for
exactly.
his body. Whereas with like Bleach and other series, they just, you know, just power ball and power Bankai. Okay, Bankai 2, Bankai, yeah. Yeah, we get it. Bankai.
Yeah, it's like everyone in Bleach has different powers, but at the same time, you kind of wonder why. They still
shout Bankai to do the same thing anyway.
Yeah, it's still ultimately, they still work pretty much the same, but what here, yeah, it makes sense that people have many different powers, and many different powers make for a much more interesting action.
I mean, Luffy's paramecium is rubber, right? Goma Goma. Yeah. So what about the other paramecium? What if they had their own, like, unique ways of getting, you know, like, well, Buggy as he developed his power. Holy
yeah,
crap.
They do have that. It goes back to Crocodile where he says that, you know, it doesn't matter what power you have, it's how you use it. Mm-hmm. So, or as they say, it's not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean. Ha ha. Thank you, Jeff Foxworthy.
What?
It's a joke.
I never got that.
It's about penises.
I knew it.
Yes. But nonetheless, as I was saying earlier, at the time that I was reading this, I started thinking, okay, what would Luffy's next power be that would make sense? And I started thinking, well, okay, you could galvanize rubber. You know, you take rubber and you harden it. So he could do that to himself and then, you know, make his fists harder and whatnot, or like do a giant, you know.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm saying this is what I was thinking would have made sense as his next power-up. And I think a lot of people were thinking about that, whereas basically, you know, Luffy develops the ability to galvanize his body, which means make it harder. So I can, you know, use Gear Third and then harden his fist. And the funny thing is that that is what happens, except Oda decides to have it be a little different rather than just focused on the Devil Fruit power. Personally, I almost think that we could have done without the introduction of Haki. It would have made more sense if we just had it, you know, focused entirely on the Devil Fruit powers, but oh well.
Devil Fruit powers are pretty overpowered, and you gotta have a way of being beaten. I don't know.
It still does feel a little out of place, I find, and we'll talk about that later as it comes on.
It's been around for a while. You just didn't get a name yet until that point.
Yes, true. It had been around, but anyway, let's move on to volume 45, which is the wrap-up of the arc as everyone returns back to, Water 7 and starts, you know, start recovering, preparing new plans, and I love this part, because, you know, after Alabasta, we had the whole Luffy eating like an entire pile of food in an instant because, you know, he's starving because he'd been passed out and he was angry that he'd missed meals. And here we discover that Luffy has learned the ability to eat when he's asleep.
Sleep eating.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't try this at home, folks. It's not good for you.
Yeah.
You might choke and die and never wake up anyway.
Yeah, and then of course you've got the reunion between, between Nami and her tangerine trees. all the people were like, oh, hey, yeah, we confiscated your stuff, all your stuff from your ship because we thought it was pirate loot, but we're giving it back now. Nami's like, thank you. And, yeah. And, of course, it is kind of funny. You've got Chopper who's like comes back from buying, you know, with Robin, from grocery shopping with Robin. He's like, I never let Robin out of my sight. And he's like, geez, you don't. He's like, this is going to take a while to get them to trust you again, Robin. But, yeah, so, yeah, and of course we also get the reveal that Franky had used, had used the money that he stole from them to buy some wood. Buy some wood from the jewel tree. Yeah, quiet. From the jewel tree, Adam. And then at first, Sanji's like, oh, you store money, you bought some wood? And he's like, no, look, I want that wood because I want to make the ultimate ship. And so he decides, he's like, hey, I'm going to make a ship for you. And then the Marines come, and we find, Vice Admiral Garp, a character that, and this is where this series start, where we had another one of those, oh my gosh, moments. This Vice Admiral Garp is a character that was introduced in one of the side stories with Colby and Hal Meppel's side cover story. And he's wearing this dog hat and everything. And then he sees Luffy and he punches him and it hurts. And Luffy is like, what the heck? He's like, it hurts. Sanji's like, wait, he just punched you. That shouldn't work. And then, turns out, a fist of love cannot be blocked, and Garp takes off his hat to reveal his actual face, and Luffy is like, Grandpa? And everyone freaks out. It's like, wait, what? He's like, it's Grandpa. And, yeah, and then we basically have the introduction of Garp to the series, and it is fantastic. Yeah. Because we have Oda's attempt at trying to make the, you know, what's it called again? When you fall asleep immediately.
Narcolepsy?
Tries to make narcolepsy a, it's like the family trait, even though at no point Luffy had never displayed any narcolepsy. And Ace was the one. That he was always narcoleptic, but at the same time, Luffy had never been it. But suddenly here it, and Garp in the cover story displayed narcolepsy, but then suddenly Luffy displays narcolepsy. And at the same time, I'm starting to think, you know how Oda said that the reason Luffy reacted to Nami's naked body in Alabasta was because Usopp was there and he's a bad example? I'm starting to think that there may be some truth to that, because Luffy goes this entire time without just randomly falling asleep, but the moment he's around his grandpa, suddenly he falls asleep. And I'm starting to think he clearly must be very easily influenced by other people.
Oh, grandpa's asleep. I'm asleep too.
And of course, everyone's just like laughing. Is just like, I don't know what the heck's going on. And Garp continues to punch him, and it's, you know, saying that, hey, the fist of love, that is the only thing that can hurt Luffy. Which Oda has since said has nothing to do with Haki. It's just his Garp's strong feelings for his grandson overcome Luffy's natural defenses.
So wait, does that work for the others too? Because they've beaten up Luffy in terrible ways too before.
I think it might be. It might. I think I'm pretty sure that a lot of the others that have, beaten up on Luffy when he's being silly. I think it's pretty much because of, how much they care about their captain. Of course, the big one that everyone likes to bring up is like, oh, hey, so if Garp's fist hurts Luffy, and it's a fist of love, and not whenever Nami punches Luffy, it hurts, does that mean it's a fist of love? And I can't remember what the heck Oda said about that. Remember that his answer was something along the lines of, sort of, except not romantically, is basically what he said. Although the fans of that pairing are still insisting that, oh, fist of love, it's true. So, but yeah. And we also get the reintroduction of two new characters that attack Luffy and Zoro, and it's Kobe and Hal Meppel, who look completely different. And then Luffy is like, wait, Kobe? He's like, I have a friend named Kobe, but, he's a lot shorter than you. You must be some other guy. He's like, no, that's me. He's like, what? He's like, wait, how did that happen?
He changed a lot. I was like, holy crap.
And Hal Meppel has gotten a lot taller with longer hair. And suddenly you're just like, wait, how did his hair grow? And
whose hair?
Hal Meppel's. It wasn't that long before, so I guess it's been a while.
It was certainly a hell of a lot weird too before it grew that long.
Yeah, I really love the, how he's like, oh hey, I'm here too. And he's like, who are you? It's me, Hal Meppel, Captain Morgan's son, Hal Meppel. And so I was like, He's like, I tied you up and almost had you executed.
I'm the idiot, remember? Oh, yeah, the idiot. Oh, my God, that's how you remember me.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, come on, you guys. And just Luffy and Zoro just do that, like, head tilt thing where they're like, wait, what? And he's like, come on, I'm the guy that took advantage of my dad's name. Oh, you. And now I remember that jerk. And, yeah. And then the Marines, and then Garp and the Marines start fixing the wall. And they're like, he's like, you know, if you're going to fix it, why did you break it in the first place? This is cooler to make an entrance that way. Don't break walls just for this. Then you have us help fix it. Then you have to help us fix it. And he's like, what? Well, okay.
He starts fixing it.
Yeah. I really wish we could have like a couple chapters devoted just to Garp and his crew, because they seem like the most entertaining bunch ever. You know, it's just like the Garp being ridiculous and his crew members talking back to him.
Like, we found the breaks of the wall.
Yep, and there's just a lot of information that's shared here. You've got, you know, the revelation of what the four emperors are. You've got the revelation of Luffy's dad.
And, oh, yeah.
And another moment, and, you know, this will be a reading from a shipper's mind where, you know... You know, where Garp says, oh, hey, you know, your dad saw you off at Loguetown. He didn't tell you who he was. And then Zoro's like, Loguetown? Sanji was like, your dad was there? And Luffy's like, who's my dad? And then you've got Nami who's like, I'm interested in who Luffy's dad is. And from the viewpoint of a shipper, if, you know, for anyone listening to this, you know, if you want to understand how people can ship stuff where there clearly is no shipping material, that is instantly interpreted in a shipper's mind to mean, I am interested in who Luffy's dad is because someday he will be my father-in-law. I never said it was sane, but that's what happens.
That is true. She did say something along the lines of, I'd like to know, too.
And then Garp was like, oh, yeah, your father is Monkey D. Dragon, the revolutionary. And all the Marines just freak the heck out.
They're like, oh!
And everyone's like, wait, that's the first time I've heard Dragon's full name. And Luffy is like, hey, why is everyone acting weird? And everyone is like, your dad's really dangerous.
He's famous.
Yeah, and we discover what the revolutionaries are these people that are different from pirates because they specifically attack the world government.
And freedom fighters.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Garp was like, oh, maybe I said more than I should have. Forget what I said. And, of course, that's pretty amazing. And, yep. And then kind of from there, we get some more, you know, see a lot more scenes of pretty much the standard in-between scenes, you know. Shanks meeting with Whitebeard, revealing that Blackbeard is the one that gave him his scar, and he wants to stop Ace because he needs, you know, because, you know, this isn't going to end, this isn't going to end well.
Mm.
And then, yeah, then it turns out their fight split the heavens. And then we see Ace going after Blackbeard, having finally found him. And then we cut away from that, and we go back to Franky and the rest building the ship. And of course we got a little scene of Usopp trying to, show that, hey, I'm, it was like, hey, you know what, I'm going to practice how I'm going to get you guys to let me back.
And just forget about what will happen before. No, it's not that easy to forget.
Yeah, it's like, what, Luffy, you want me to come back? Jeez, guys, talk about pathetic. You're so helpless without me. If you insist, then fine, I'll join your crew again. Yep, it would be better to get him to say it. That's pattern 23.
I'll be honest, I groaned when I read off, like, why?
I was like, oh, Usopp, why? Usopp, oh. But yeah. Yeah, I did like that. It's like, after all the trouble the Franky family caused, it's like, did your grandfather pull some strings and say they were just innocent bystanders? And it's like, I don't think he knows how to do complicated stuff like that. Nami and Chopper is like, what Luffy said. And let's see, what else was there? Yeah, and you've got the talk about the bounties where Nami's like, wait, why are you happy about them going up? Are you guys morons? And then, let's see, and...
It's the excitement. It's like, oh, look, more risk, more danger, more adventure. That's basically how Luffy thinks. Zoro's like, all right, more people are going to try and get me. I'll be stronger now.
So oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah, and then, of course...
face more.
Oh, yeah, and also worth pointing out, there was, of course, the end of arc party that everyone had. And Nami's like, I'm going to go shopping. Hey, where's the 100 million berries that used to be here? And Luffy's like, I used it to buy the meat and booze. It's like, that was all our... You used it all? That was all the money we had. And, yeah, and it's like, there's hardly any left. Well, yeah, the people in the town joined in, too. And then...
We get one of the most popular... beat up faces of Luffy ever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got a ship for free, so isn't that good? And of course, this follows immediately after the introduction of the Fist of Love. So obviously people are thinking, oh, hey, she loves him, even though she wants to beat him up.
I found a little interview. Oda pretty much answered that it's like they're basically hurting his spirit, beating his spirit up.
Mm.
Basically, let's just say like this, Oda never wants to be logical.
Yeah.
He never wants to give a logical answer.
Yeah,
we just have to interpret it however he says it.
Yeah, he says like they're attacking his heart. But yeah, so, but nonetheless...
For Sniper Island, it is in your heart.
Yeah. Nonetheless, the shippers all, like, will take it as they wish. And, yeah. And let's see, from there on... Let's see. Of course, we get more of a joke with, we get the introduction of Fishman Island, where it's like... Oh man, this sounds cool. This is where the fishmen are from, and we've heard about this since Arlong. We're gonna go there soon. I'm pretty sure everyone at the time was thinking we're gonna go to Fishman Island after this, and then that didn't happen. But nonetheless, and then we have
Fishman.
Yeah, and then of course you have the continued of Sanji. It was like, you know, it was like it's a place where dreams come through, and he sees Kokoro. He's like, "What's wrong with dreaming a little?" I was like, "I'm a pirate after all." Kokoro's like, "There are young ones there. Relax." So
with no legs, Sanji, no legs.
Yeah, but then yeah, so good luck with that. But yeah, and then of course you get the introduction of the Florian Triangle, which is a bit of a hint of what's to come, and then we get the bounty posters, and yeah, Luffy's has gone up. Robin's has gone up, Zoro's has gone up, and Nami, Sanji, Chopper, and Sniper King have all gotten bounties now. So
Sanji's the funniest. It's like, we didn't know how he looked like, but we think he looked like. It's close, but it's not exactly him.
Yeah, it's like they... Yeah, it's like as we find out in just like a couple pages later, is you know, it's like, you know, I took a picture of him, but when I developed the film, look what happened. Look, it's solid black. Truly a mysterious phenomenon. Marine is like, did you by any chance forget to take off the lens? The cap off the lens?
That'll make sense.
Yeah, and of course you've got, and Frankie's got a bounty as well. And like, the Frankie family is like, could you please take him with you? He's kind of in trouble. And, yeah. And, of course, you've got everyone's reactions, and Nami is just like, wait, I don't want a bounty, and Luffy and Zoro are like, oh, yes. And Robin's kind of like, mm-hmm. Chopper is just like, wait, just 50 berries? What the heck? And then Sanji's like, wait, who is that? And,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. The thing about Sanji's bounty poster, where actually, it's, just keep that in mind. I'm going to say it, just keep that in mind for later on.
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. Shh.
Quiet.
that will come up, don't worry.
I know. It'll come up again.
Yep, and of course we get to see the ship, and it's pretty awesome looking. And then we get the best part, the part that everyone remembers of this arc. There's a lot of stuff that everyone remembers about this arc, especially this finale. It's where the Frankie family steals Frankie's Speedos. and gets him to chase them so they can lure him to the ship, and... And you've got all the hilarious ways that, you know, that they're blocking Frankie's junk from being seen.
The girl with the ball bounce. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, and it's like, don't let them see the pervert. And then, of course, Luffy and group start, you know, steal them, and they get him to the ship. And they say, Frankie, you have to join us. And then Frankie's like, I'm not going to join you. Don't think I'll just join you just because you stole my trunks. And then he does like a pose in a quote is like, a man is naked his entire life. May he be like a lion and stand against the crashing waves. And there's a freaking lens flare over his jaw as he does the pose. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And other people are like, ah, oh, it's like the horror. And Luffy's like, he's a man among men. He's like, he's just a pervert. And then, of course, Robin does quite possibly the most questionable thing she's ever done, as she says, if you don't mind getting a little rough, I'm willing to help. And she uses the Dose Fleur grab. and the hands grow out of Frankie's legs and grab his balls.
Yeah.
And squeeze. Yeah. And it's just like, ah! It's like, what? But Robin, no! And it's like, ah, you're gonna crush them! And all the men and all the men watching are just terrified. And of course, we get all the big emotional scenes with Frank. He's like, "Oh, Frankie, you know, your dream was to sail the ship, the ultimate ship, to the end of the Grand Line." And he ends up, deciding to join them, even though, yeah, and so. Yep, we got that. And then, of course, there's the issue of Usopp coming back with, you've got Luffy wants, obviously everyone else wants Usopp to come back. And except for Zoro, who basically says, look, Usopp left on his own. Luffy may be an idiot, but he's still the captain. And we can't have a crewmate that can't respect the captain when the going gets tough. So a crew that doesn't respect the captain, a captain who doesn't deserve that respect, is destined to fail. He basically says, even if Usopp comes back, we can't let him, if Usopp comes back and if the first thing out of his mouth is an apology, then it's all good. But anything other than that, and he's not allowed back on the crew.
And so if you guys allow him to come back and for any other stupid reason other than the apology, I'm leaving. I'm like, oh, shit, he's serious.
Yeah, and this is like one of the times that Zoro really shows off the fact that he's never officially said to be the first mate, but he is pretty much basically he's taking the role of the first mate here, where it's like, he has to lay down the law. And yeah, and also one thing. Let's see. Also, I think this was the part where Oda's art style started getting really ridiculous as far as the way he draws women go. I don't know why, but for some reason in the pose where he's set in the panel where he says that, a crew that doesn't respect the captain is destined to fail. And for some reason, just Nami and Robin in the background, and I'm like, huh, those look a lot bigger than they did in previous chapters.
What?
Okay, then. But yeah, so, and we've got... Yeah, we carry on with the Navy. They're starting to, close in. And you've got Usopp running to meet up with his crew as he's trying all the, all the ways that he could, get back on there, without, And he's like, if you're going to beg and cry, I don't mind coming back as the first mate. And it's really painful because he's just, you're just like, Usopp, why? Why are you being such a jerk? And then, of course, they have to leave because Garp Garp is coming, and he punches cannonballs.
Yeah. See, when I first read the story, I thought he threw them. I couldn't tell. But when I read it, I was like, wait, he punches cannonballs?
Yeah, and he's got them set up on like a bowling ball conveyor belt, and he just punches the cannonballs and he's like, the ship is not doing very well. They're trying to, protect it, and, Usopp managed to arrive just as they're leaving because, they're kind of being attacked, and, Usopp starts... he starts saying about how, I was like, hey, he starts doing his, hey, guys, rejoice, it's me, trying to act like nothing happened. And even as he's doing that, he starts remembering everything that happened and what he did. And, Luffy and the others are just, Chopper's saying, hey, Usopp's calling. And Luffy's like, I don't hear anything. And Zoro's like, I don't hear anything. I was like, don't lie, I know you do. And then the reason that, you know, they're saying they don't hear anything is because they're ignoring what Usopp is saying to give him a chance to actually do the right thing and apologize. And then it's just this huge moment that I'd say really rivals the, you know, the scene as they were leaving Alabasta with the, you know, with the big scene where they show off their, you know, their marks. And here it's just this big two-page spread of Usopp just yelling. It's like, I'm sorry! And he's just completely in tears, and, you know, Luffy is shocked, is, you know, just completely shocked. Sanji seems pretty shocked, as, you know, a bit shocked, but also sort of like, I don't know, I can't really read his expression. And Zoro's expression is just like, you can just tell he's thinking, geez, it's about time. And then Usopp just completely tearfully says, please let me join you again. He's like, I don't want to leave you guys. And then Luffy extends his hand, and at first he's got like that mysterious grin against his eyes, and then you see his eyes, and you're like, oh my gosh. He's just sobbing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got Zoro, who's like, you're an idiot. But at the same time, you can tell he's pleased that everything turned out right. And yeah, with Usopp on board, they use Franky's, you know, they use one of the abilities of the new Thousand Sunny that Franky has, that Franky installed, which was the Coup de Burst, which allows him to, you know, which allows them to rocket their ship out of the water and through the sky. And I really love how you've got Garp, he's like, huh, not bad. And then afterwards he's just laughing, he's like, that's my grandson. And you've got Kobe, who's like just cheering and pumping his fist in the air. And everyone's like, knock it off! So, yeah, this, and then, yeah, and then after that we kind of get the, you know, we get this little bit of another celebration. You've got other characters. You know, got basically everyone's, all the other characters' reaction to, you know, to the news of what happened. And also, yeah, I kind of like when you've got an Alabasta, you've got like, you've got King Cobra and Igaram and Don Chaka and Pell, who are like, wait, it's like, what's Nico Robin doing with the Straw Hats? And it's like, oh man, what will Vivi do? She'll be sad when she hears this. And she's like, oh, I already knew. And you're like, wait, how did you know? But, yeah. And she's basically like, ah, oh, you know, it's no big deal. So, yeah, and then, yep. And then, yeah, the celebration. And then we get even more, yeah, get like the beginning of the final chapter of the volume. Oh, yeah, before we do that is, yeah, we did also worth pointing out that as they were leaving and after, you know, after the chapter where they managed to leave, they have, you know, the big toast and say, to Fishman Island.
Oh, yeah.
It took, like, I swear it took, like, 4 years to get there. It was insane.
Yeah.
But, and then, of course, we get more of, you know, everyone, all the different, you know, everyone's homes react to the news of everyone's bounties. And you've got, yeah, I think the ones that kind of stand out of, you've got Kaya, and you're sort of like, you pointed out earlier, it's like, yeah, Usopp's got a really good reason to go back home eventually.
Yep.
And then, of course, you've got Nami's island with Gen, who's like, took the picture from the wanted poster and blew it up and has it, like, along an entire side of his wall. And he's like, I can't let them pass this obscene poster all around the world. No, because like, you actually like that picture, don't you? You made it giant. yeah, and so, and then of course, yeah, Chopper's home, and we also get to see Dragon for the first time in a while, as he, at the Revolutionary Headquarters. And then, yeah, we also see that Ace is going after Blackbeard, and they start their fight, and it's freaking awesome because of all possible superpowers, fire is always my favorite. And he just demolishes them. And then, of course, that volume ends with Blackbeard revealing, is like, you may be a fire, but I'm made of darkness.
So, light versus darkness?
No. No, I know. Not light, fire. Actually, fire. I would... speaking with a minor spoiler, that's a fight I wouldn't mind to see. But nonetheless, man, this volume. I mean, we spent so much more time on it, mostly because there is so much to go through here. This is probably one of the best volumes to read because it has the biggest character, emotional character moments. It has the funniest moments. It has the big revelations. We get to see what is happening around the rest of the world as we take a small break between the big action. And so, yeah, this makes it really, you know, this kind of just wraps everything up and very nicely. And, yeah, volume 45 is pretty freaking amazing.
So much content.
I know. That's why we're going to have to take a little break from One Piece for a little bit. Yeah. Because there is so much content. And keep in mind, I think we just went from, like, volume 12 to 45 without stopping, basically.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, or something like that, around those lines. I can't remember the exact specifics. But, yeah, we just did it. It was insane. So,
We made it past halfway, didn't we? We made it past halfway, didn't
we? Let's see. There's volume 71 was recently released, so... 35...
Since we are halfway.
We're more than halfway through, because 35 is, it would be the halfway point for volume 70.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, 35.5, which would be, like, halfway through volume 36, is the exact halfway point for us right now. And so, yeah, we're more than beyond the halfway point. So, from here on, all that remains is, we've got Thriller Bark after this. We've got the Shabadi Archipelago, we've got Amazon Lily, we've got Impel Down, and we've got the Marineford, we still have a lot to go. We've got the Time Skip, we've got the Reunion, we've got Fishman Island, we've got Punk Hazard, and then we have and I think they're still on Punk Hazard in the releases, I'm not certain, I don't have 71 yet.
No?
Yeah, well, let me check 70 in one sec.
Yeah.
Well, I can't seem to find it, but I know that 67 they were in Punk Hazard, so they're probably in Dressrosa by now. So, yeah. So that was, that. So, yeah. So we've got a ways to go still. You know, a lot of content, a lot of story that to get through. But yeah, we got through more than halfway through what we have right now. But there still is a lot more to go. And, but like I said, we're taking a break from One Piece for a little while. One, so that I can buy some more volumes, because I still have a ton that I don't own that I need. And then two, because we've got some coming up shortly. Let me actually pull up the release schedule. Let's see. We got Fairy Tale that came out this week, so we'll be discussing volume 39 next week, along with Attack on Titan volumes 1 and 2. We decided.
We'll be starting that.
Yeah, we decided we can take it a little easy with that and just go two volumes at a time, because there's only about 13 volumes of Attack on Titan out, and so with that, we'll be going over that. We'll be reading it. And, we'll go through that series so that we're caught up with the most recent releases. That way we'll have discussed everything there is to discuss about that series. And then, other than that, we're taking a slight break from One Piece because we are coming up to some weeks with multiple releases. The week of July the 1st is... We have Nisekoi Volume 4. It's only one volume. But then on the week of the 8th, we have The Seven Deadly Sins Volume 3, Ranma 1/2 Volume 3. And that's three volumes already. On the week of the 15th, we have Fairy Tail 40 and the first volume of Terra for Mars, if we decide to pick that one up. Then after that, we have a little bit of a break, but we've got like Shokugeki no Soma on the 5th of August. We've also got the Fairy Tail 41 on the 12th of August. And then we get into some September, which is just an insane month, because we've got Nisekoi Volume 5 and Ranma 1/2 Volume 4 on the 2nd of September. On the 9th, we've got The Seven Deadly Sins Volume 4. On the 16th, we've got Genshiken Second Season Volume 5 and Terraformers Volume 2. On the 30th, we've got Fairy Tail Volume 42. Then October, it slows down a little bit. We've got Shokugeki no Soma Volume 2 on the 7th. On the 28th, we've got Fairy Tail Volume 43. In November, it speeds up a little bit. We've got Ranma and a Half Volume 5 on the 3rd. Nisekoi Volume 6 on the 4th. Seven Deadly Sins Volume 5 on the 11th, and on the 25th we have Fairy Tail 44. In December, on the 2nd, we have Shokugeki no Soma Volume 3. On the 30th, we have Fairy Tail Volume 45. And on the 6th of January, we have Nisekoi Volume 7 and Ranma 1/2 Volume 6. We've got, on the 13th, we've got Seven Deadly Sins Volume 6. And then on the 27th, of January of Fairy Tail Volume 46, and on the 24th we have Fairy Tail Volume 47, which doesn't make any sense because those volumes haven't even been released yet. And like at the rate that it's going, there is no way those volumes are going to actually be released. It's impossible because we're so close. I think the most recent one was like Volume 43 that was released a couple months ago, and so I don't see us being, you know, that caught up. But we'll see what happens. It may just be Amazon assuming or whatever's going on. But yeah, so we're taking a slight break from One Piece. I don't know when we'll start up again because there's a lot of new manga coming out. There's also a lot of old manga that we still have that needs to be discussed, that needs to be talked about. So we'll see where we go with that. Eventually we're going to start it up, but I'm going to be slowly buying new volumes here and there. Like, I think what I'll be doing is, like, as new volumes come out, when I order them, I'll also order One Piece volumes. And so, hopefully they won't be in bad condition, but, you know, I think that's what I might do is, like, you know, just, like, if I have one volume coming out, I'll order a volume of One Piece just to sort of, so that there's a little, you know, the volumes can support each other rather than falling to pieces. So, yeah, and, okay, yeah, so for the foreseeable future, we'll be reviewing new series as they come out, and we will also be talking about, Attack on Titan, as we get through that, and then, yeah, we won't be starting on Bleach or Naruto or anything like that. But
I'm going to wait until the end because
we might do some of the volumes of Toriko that we were missing. So, all right, for now, let's go ahead and take a quick break and move on to the next segment. It's time for the manga commentary section for episode 101. This week we have a chapter of Naruto, Hunter x Hunter, Bleach, Stealth Symphony, Toriko, Nisekoi, World Trigger, a special crossover between Nisekoi and My Love Story, and the first chapter preview of the shoujo manga My Love Story.
I told you about the shoujo.
Yeah. which is basically, to give a brief description of it, it's basically what you would get if the guy behind Gogo 13 decided to write a shoujo manga.
What?
Well, I mean, the main character looks a little bit like that sort of, like a caricature of the main character in Gogo 13, doesn't he?
Really? He looks kind of thinner, the main character, Gogo 13.
I don't know. A little bit. You know, he's got that typical sort of like large manly look with the large eyebrows and everything.
Oh, yeah, you're right, but he still looks better than the other guy.
Yeah, what other guy?
He does. The kid.
Oh, right. True. But, you know.
Like, one other guy, the kid. But he looks like an older guy.
Yeah, right. But, okay, let's talk about the chapters this week. So, with Naruto, chapter 680.
Yeah, it's on the cover.
Yes. Yes, it is. You know, honestly, I don't even think this one's worth getting upset about. Really?
No?
Not really. I mean, we've said our bit.
It's amusing.
It's, yeah, I mean, there are some moments that I do enjoy, such as yet another moment of Sakura realizing how much of a freaking douchebag Sasuke is. And yet at the same time, I'm just like, Kishimoto's going to have them end up together, isn't he? After all this time he spends making Sakura realize, oh, hey, look, Sasuke's a douchebag, he's still going to have them end up together because, you know, there was that whole, the whole first part of the, after the time skip where it looked like he'd had her grow up, you know, have her actually realize, oh, wait a minute, Sasuke, you know, I'm not going to be defined by the fact that I'm in love with Sasuke. But then he reveals, oh, wait, no, she's still in love with Sasuke. And I'm like, oh, great, hey, goodbye character development. So I guess...
The way I see it, Kishimoto's doing the whole, oh, the boy is bad. The girl wants to make sure that she wants to help the bad boy turn good. But it ends up getting the other way around.
Yeah, but it's, you know, but so I don't trust him, honestly. I swear, even though he's done like 2-3 weeks in a row, he's specifically pointed out how, you know, Sasuke is being so callous towards Sakura, and you'd think that it would be, oh, hey, this is a sign that, oh, she's realizing he's not the right one for her. And yet, at the same time, we know that's not going to be the case, because Kishimoto constantly likes to do the whole Sakura realizing Naruto is better than Sasuke, and then still pull the she still loves Sasuke BS. So, quite frankly, yeah, I'm just deciding, you know what, I'm not going to get invested in this, even though this is an interesting, you know, even though I have to say it's about darn time she realizes what a complete sociopath he is. But at the same time, I'm just thinking, I'm not going to get invested. No, you can't do it. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I will come and I will find you.
Fool him 3 times and, well,
that is redacted.
way more than 3 times. Yeah. Fool me like 6. Fool me, how many chapters is this again? Fool me 680 times.
I'm referring specifically to the moment after, you know, the World Summit arc.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where you find out that, oh, hey, Sakura was, you know, despite what all the fans were thinking, Sakura is still in love with Sasuke. Kind of BS, but anyway, that aside.
Count yourself.
Yeah, I will have to say the manga is significantly better than it has been for the past several years, just by virtue of the fact that the main characters are all together again.
Okay. So,
yeah, and I mean the confusing messages that Kishimoto likes to send aside, you know?
Yeah, I'll just ignore the confusing messages that have to do with shipping and just talk about the little bit with the whole flashback part about when Naruto says, hey, remember that moment when your body moves on your own?
Yeah.
Well, that's another shipping moment. I don't give a crap about that kind of shipping.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's sort of like, okay, yeah,
I'm totally confused about that part. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's, but nonetheless, I mean, the focus of the chapter is kind of the interaction between the characters, but there is a lot of, you know, but yeah, I mean, the main villain is still Kaguya, and I'm just like, oh, hey, look, she has a motivation, which is like, all chakra is mine. It's like, that is literally the worst motivation I have ever seen.
She is the main villain now, but from what I've read online, and there's speculation that it's not going to end with this. The series won't end with her. It'll end sometime after her, you know, with the whole, you know, recontinuation of the Naruto versus Sasuke fight.
Probably. I mean, if it doesn't, you know, if you don't get a continuation of their fight, then I'd call Max.
Oh my god. You know, if Kishimoto actually did what Amano Akira did with Katake Member Born, where the final arc was practically a Battle Royale free-for-all tournament, I'd be like, no, I'm done. I'm not reading. Or I'm not done. No, not reading.
Well, yeah, well, actually, you know what would be the perfect ending?
You'll die?
No.
Oh.
A second Chunin exam. Because keep in mind, neither Naruto nor Sasuke were around to be promoted. They've only participated once, and despite Naruto's overwhelming power, he is still a Genin.
Oh, wait. So everyone that participated in the tuning exam got promoted?
No, no, it was just Shikamaru that I believe.
Oh, yeah.
But you had people that were promoted in between the story. You know, I think all of the Konoha ninja were promoted during the time skip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
And not, yeah, because it specifically points out that Naruto is the only Genin of their age group around anymore. And so you've got Naruto, who was away, didn't get promoted. And you've got Sasuke, who was away and didn't get promoted. So the perfect ending would either be a second Chunin exam or ending it with them about to take the Chunin exam. That?
I could pull with those two, and then it'll still piss me. They'll go, wait, what about the... Like, dude, doesn't matter about that anymore.
Yeah. I could just see it now. Everyone's like, yay, Naruto, you saved us. You're our hero. You should become Hokage. And then one of the elders is like, he's still a Genin, you know? He hasn't even been promoted to Chunin, let alone Jonin. And then I could just see everyone being like, wait, really? Man, you suck. But, yeah, nonetheless, future speculation aside, I will repeat without much force that Kaguya as the current villain is the absolute bullshittiest bullshit I've ever seen.
So. I think way worse bullshit, but okay.
Yeah, all right.
I can't remember.
Yeah, let's talk about Hunter x Hunter chapter 343.
Oh, this is a good chapter, actually. And I still can't believe I'm actually saying that, because it actually was a good chapter.
Yeah. It was certainly enjoyable, but beyond knowing the basics of...
Beyond.
You know, just like the very basics of the characters that are here, I'm suddenly like, wait, okay. It was like, hey, wait a minute, there's...
We have to catch up to know what's going on.
Yeah, it is pretty much. So I was like, wait, what's up with the red eyes? I have no idea what's going on here. Besides the basic idea knowing from that one extra chapter.
Interesting. Nice take on doing that, Yoshi Togashi.
Mm-hmm. So... I'm not entirely sure what's going on, but...
I was about to say Yoshihiro, but then that's actually his first name.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, it was well written and interesting, but I kind of get the feeling that I really need to catch up on this series,
because... Yeah, because somewhere in the middle of the chapter, there was the conversation between Ging and Patterson, and they were talking about something that apparently happened in the previous arc, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Zach, I have no idea what's going
on. All I know is that previous arc is where things got really insane. I just say that much. Mm.
Lovely. All right. Well, in that case, yeah, I need to just sit down and catch up on this manga, because I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I kind of... Nah, I don't want to.
Yeah, I have to do it as I did with Toriko, because... Because Toriko, I was, like, reading the most recent chapters, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. But I also need to do that with Blue Exorcist, actually.
Viz should really try and get in on the whole releasing. Wait, did they actually release... They don't have all the Hunter x Hunter volumes out, like, here in the States, do they?
I think they do. I mean, they did a recap of it all.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, but anyway...
Okay, so there's no, like, super speed up release, like...
No, I don't think that's necessary. But all right, let's talk about Bleach chapter. There we go, 584, The Headless Star, Volume 3, and I like
it. So is the blonde one dead?
Man,
she's got knocked into the building or something.
Yeah,
the other three are still standing.
Yeah, you get to see the... What was it, the zombie chick? It's like a really creepy expression. It's like, man, that expression reminds me of Orihime looking at donuts. This is...
That's adorable.
It's terrifying.
My wife will shut up.
Yeah, she's a freak. You're a freak. And then they all get... Yeah, and then they all get stabbed, and then more of the...
They all get stabbed by a burning finger shoot thing.
Yeah, and then more of the Sternritter show up, and... Yeah, they're all like, hey, we're all going to, you know, it's like, we're all going to, you know, fight him, and the one that kills Ichigo gets the glory.
8v1.
Yep, and then there's that big light, and apparently Ichivach is going to be doing something, I don't know, it's probably got something to do with reuniting all the people that he's given, all the souls he's given power to.
Probably. That's what he's saying, all my sons be one with me. I'm like, some of them aren't even men.
Yeah, I can just imagine afterwards, and all the ladies are like, whew, thank goodness for that wording. But, yeah, and he's like, well, I need to keep the ladies for other reasons. I'm like, oh no, this manga's taking a dark turn.
Oh, too late, it's already someone, been
yes. Yes. Someone needs to do the laundry and cook the dinner. Well, this manga took a sexist turn. Oh, well.
Rather a sexist turn than the other turn.
Yep. All right, well, this was a good chapter. I mean, actually having the main character there is nice. I don't know what the hell is wrong with some of these long-running manga, but they seem to be under the impression that we don't want to see the main character, or they just have these months on end where the main character is not there, and I'm like, look, you morons! If the manga is about the main character, focus on the freaking main character. The rest of your cast is not strong enough to replace the main character.
Wait, which series are we talking about?
I'm talking about Naruto and Bleach.
Oh, any other series are like that too?
Not really. I mean, Toriko has been pretty well focused on the main character. I mean, it had moments in the, you know, in the cooking tournament arc, which I'm still pissed we didn't get to see any actual cooking, but you know, they had that moment there where
the scene in Cooking Island,
yeah, where Toriko was, you know, not the focus, but he was still part of the, you know, part of the arc. He was still there while a lot of these other ones, he was, you know, off fighting. We just were focusing on other characters. While with Bleach and Naruto, it was, oh, the main character is somewhere else doing, being kept away from the fight or trying to get to the fight. And I'm just like, oh, come on. Don't do that. All right. Let's talk about Stealth Symphony Chapter 16. Shall we?
This was, how do I say, very intense.
Undeservedly so, I say.
yeah, that word.
I mean, you know, you have attempted murder, actual murder, the reveal that Jig is turning into a dragon because of the, you know, the, you know, the wings aren't, you know, an automatic counter defense attack mechanism. It's an eggshell, and anyone enveloped by it turns into a dragon. So I'm like, okay, cool. But
I just have to say, you know, yo and I and I, eye for an eye thing.
Yeah.
Didn't work here because, first of all, this douchebag lost his eye and he decided to set Jig's freaking home on fire intentionally, knowing people are sleeping in there at that time and killing them. I'm like, you know what? I don't really forgive this freaking douchebag at all.
And, I mean, I kind of honestly ignore that character because, quite frankly, he's one of those stereotypical manga characters where you're just like, oh, hey, he's a bully that's willing to commit murder. You know, it's just, okay, look, there are some pretty awful people in the world, but it gets really tiresome when you've got, like, the bully character that's willing to commit homicide over something that happened to them. It's just, I don't know. I have a hard time buying it. But nonetheless, I do like the reveal that apparently Jig is turning into a black dragon, so now I kind of like to imagine as he flies away, Natsu just comes running in, yelling, Acnologia!
That's only a crossover for some reason.
Yeah, suddenly the manga ends such way, but...
Such a way.
Yeah, I did like the little when What's-His-Face used his gold, automatically protected him, where he's like...
Ice?
Yeah. Yeah, where he was just like, well, that's enough gold to crash the market. I kind of liked how they, you know, how they addressed that. Because a lot of times with the whole, oh, hey, look, we can create gold, doesn't, you know, it doesn't ever address the fact that if you could just create gold willy-nilly, you're going to ruin the market. So, yeah. And then, we have the scene at the end where find out that apparently Jig has been doing the whole The Shining writing crazy stuff on the wall.
Red rum, red rum, red rum.
Yes.
I saw that movie. It was,
yeah.
It was creepy with that one part that's also adult.
Yeah, it... Yeah.
Nonetheless... I never read the book, to be honest.
Yeah, no, me neither. I haven't actually read any Stephen King stuff. Never... I don't like horror, so...
I was trying to read Insomnia, but then I got... Actually, the funny thing about the book Insomnia by Stephen King, I was reading that when I went to a jury service, and I was there for over 8 hours, and I read it, and I was already past halfway through the book, and I'm like, why is it not over yet? Why am I still not done with the book yet? Why? Oh, I never got called.
Yeah.
I hate the research.
Yeah, I never heard back from them when they sent me that letter and I sent it in.
Well, you get picked up randomly when you're a voter, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I send it in, but they never spoke to me, and I was kind of hoping for a chance to be paid to be off work. Oh, well.
Well, I don't want to be there for who knows how long I might have to be there for.
I'd rather do that than...
I don't. I don't want to have to be eating food I don't want to eat.
Nonetheless. yeah, we also find out that the letters that he's been sending have all been returned because the recipient is not at that address, so it's like, oh, wait, the entire town is dead. Which, this series is going to be ending. It's the same pattern we see over and over again where... Series starts out, doesn't know how to start a freaking manga series, and ends up playing their big hand too soon so that they can actually, you know, show the big cool reveal that they wanted instead of, you know, actually tell a proper story.
Reveal for the main character, the protagonist.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I remember Barrage was with that. Oh, Barrage met this, he asked him at this one guy, and I was like, wait... Oh,
yeah.
It's ending.
Yeah, that one was sort of like you find out that, oh, hey, look, Barrage is the, you know, the actual son, et cetera. And
then when Magico was like, oh, this guy used to be the so-called lover of the monster thing. Like, wait, what? Oh, okay, look, man.
I don't even remember that, and I don't give a crap.
Yeah, that's seriously just... Sadly.
It was bad. It was no good.
It had potential, but it just didn't do right.
I do like the idea of rather than having a stupid romantic plot, have the characters actually be married already. Except it was trying to do both, but off topic. Yeah, this chapter is definitely the, oh, we're about to be canceled, so let's quickly show the cool thing that we wanted to show when we started. You know, this is definitely something that should have been done, like, several years into the series. And I do feel that the story just wasn't interesting. The characters, we didn't get enough of the characters. We didn't get any focus, you know, and the tonal shift here is just so bizarre that... I don't know. Yeah, it's completely unwarranted. I mean, it's definitely a cool direction to take it, but it's coming out of kind of the tone of the series now is coming kind of out of nowhere.
And so, okay, I'm gonna try to compare like how the character development should be done to a series that's not that wasn't published back in the early 2000s, but like in the late 2000s. I'm gonna go with Toriko with how we got Toriko and Komatsu first, and then later on we had Coco in the Falling arc, but then after that then Sunny came in, but after it was a while until Zebra appeared. And generally, they still only had those main five. And it was good because they focused on them. Even though Zebra appeared a little later, he still had some, well, he has character built at least.
Yeah, the problem, the definite problem is, again, just the lack of proper character development and the attempt to end. Without that, you just feel insulted when it tries to be all, oh, hey, look at me using these characters as if I'd actually put any effort into introducing them. So,
yeah,
you know, that annoys people. It annoys me, so.
I mean, if they're going to, you know, if they're going to, the character that the writer should have focused on was, of course, Jig. Choma, so-called, the Alice, of course, because she was in the base against too. And I don't know who else it was, but I just, those three should have been the focus so far. They still fighting them.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of her story is like, oh, look, the story you never knew about this character. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, never knew and never gave a crap about. I mean, let's be honest here.
I mean, I kind of knew the series would end when the president, whatever, the goblin guy said, oh, I was actually the hero. I'm like, oh, okay. Already hints that the series can end.
Yeah, this is not a good series. I mean, there's nothing, I am just waiting for it to be canceled because there really isn't anything appealing to it anymore.
But replace it would be better.
And, yeah, and it just continues to piss me off that, you know, that we get this instead of more cross-manage, you know? Yeah. So, I'm pissed. But anyway, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 281, which is basically everyone talking about stuff, and then we find out that the person they're supposed to talk to, the old man Daruma, is seriously ill, and at first we see somebody in the background where we're like, oh hey, that looks familiar. Nah. And then you get the whole him, he's like,
oh yeah, I saw the panel, I was like, oh wait, I look familiar.
Yeah, it's like you got Daruma, who's always like, oh, his final words, and he's like, bruh. Then he collapses, like, old man. It's like, bruh. It's like, what is it? Ugh. Old man. Bruh, he's like, old man. He's like, his eyes, would you knock it off? Either live or die. Make up your mind.
Yeah. And then we find out what was the reason why.
Yeah, turns out that he looked over into the women's side of the hot spring and got a little excited. And
I want to see the women's side of the hot spring.
Yeah, no, you don't.
We saw
keep
the
in mind where they are.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, the guy is like, my heart is still beating so fast. And we meet the doctor, the gourmet surgeon, Atashino.
Did she appear before?
I think so. I think she was at the meetings of the, at those council meetings.
Either way, she lost an eye.
Clearly, yes. But yeah, and she's one of those characters that is very clearly not meant to be one of those ones, oh, by the way, in an effort to expand my female cast, this one character is actually female. And so, yeah, this one's like straight up. It's like, oh, hey, look, woman.
Please.
So rare in this series. But,
poor women.
Yeah. And we also find out that Melk the First is there, and he seems to have lost his arm.
Left arm.
Yep. And
not his right arm.
Yeah. And of course, we get the return of the gag of where he talks really quiet.
Thankfully, Zebra doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah, because, you know,
echo.
Sound, that's his thing. Sound. And he also, we find out that, oh, they're going to capture Acacia's salad, air. So, be interesting to see where this goes. I hope it doesn't, you know, this isn't a, we're going to end this, we're going to move towards the final point of the series. So I'm like, please don't, keep going.
Doing okay. I'm not sure what ranking so far.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's doing okay, but I don't know. This feels, the fact that they're introducing the fact that they're going after one of Acacia's items. I mean, granted, they have a ton of items to go for, but, you know. Oh, yeah, also worth pointing out, Torko's going to be off next week.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a shame.
Other than that, the funny thing I wanted to point out, I'm sure people are probably already knew from the very beginning, but I didn't think about, like the part where Komatsu drank so much and he threw up, and then Cook and then Bunch of like, what the heck? And then Coco's like, oh no, I was like, I'm gonna do it too. And Bunch like, don't. And it's like Bunch like, no, if you do that, it's gonna not be funny at all.
Yeah, It's like toxic.
Toxic vomit.
Yeah.
So I'm clearly wondering. Nah, I don't want to say it. I'm sure anybody that's Japanese would probably understand what I'll be saying.
Stop that.
Oh. But.
Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah. What else do we have now?
Next would be
Nisekoi chapter 126, which starts off with Raku dreaming about Onodera, but turns out that Yui has made her way into his futon again. And I love the scene with all of his the underlings were like, do we align with Beehive or Charsu
Kai? That was funny.
Sui Kai, and he's like, looks like we have to go. And they're all like,
we align with Beehive or Charsu Kai. Yeah. Looks like we have to go with just Charsu Kai. Yeah. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Raku and Chitoge go on a date, and yeah, you've got the moment, you do have the good the moment where Yui reveals, hey, one, I know that you're, I know that you're faking it, but I also know that you have a crush on him because you used to have in the past. And then Yui reveals that she loves Raku as more than just a friend, right as Onodera and Rui are like walking towards these stairs right underneath where Yui and Chitoge are standing, and their reactions are pretty priceless because, yeah, I don't know, her reaction is extra priceless because you're just like, wait, why is she so invested in it? But then again, you have to keep in mind, she's invested because she wants her friend to end up with Ichijo. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and we basically get a declaration of competition, and you've got, yeah, you've got Onodera, who is just like, I'm not going to, you know, I love Ichijo, and I just can't give up on that. I'm, you know, I'll win his heart. And Ruri is like, you've really grown up. And in her head, she thinks, you already have his heart, stupid. Yeah, it's like, wait, your expression just changed. Yeah. And of course, turns out that everyone else in the of the Yakuza are going to be going on a trip, the entire gang together, and then it will just be Ichijo and Yui together alone. So you just know that it's going to end up with Chitoge and Onodera and what are the other ones?
Marika
and Tsugumi finding out about it and being, oh, hey, we're going to come here. We're going to come over to your place too. Not going to leave you two alone. So, yeah, it was a good chapter. It was a really good chapter because, you know, we're furthering the who's going to end up with him plot, which is kind of the main, you know, the main driving force of what we're trying to find out here. But then you also have plenty of comedy in it, and especially with Onodera and Ruri showing up. So I like this chapter. I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot too.
Indeed. Yep. All right. Let's see. World Trigger chapter 64. Excuse me. Chapter 64.
Drink some water.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it's all right. It's more fighting, more clever use of strategy, more revealing of what the special abilities are. Namely, I really like the way they explain the cutting, how it's, you know, it's blades on these different axes. And so, you know, it's kind of a neat idea. I thought it would be more like just random cuts wherever you want them. But
nah, no, that wouldn't be a good idea, because then you can control it.
Well, you could see like, oh, there's going to be cuts in this direction, but this is really nice. I like this idea. I was kind of thinking of one of the wizard spells in Diablo 3, but where you just have like, you know, a bunch of blade, sort of like energy cuts in front ahead of you. But with this one, it's kind of neat because it, you know, there's some rhyme and reason to it. But It's a good chapter. Nothing really specifically stands out to me.
There was this part where when Osamu protected Chika from getting hit by the attack, and he used his arm to block him, like, wait, when did he get, like, oh no, and then sometime afterwards, there was like this part where one of the guys like, hey, I have a second backup plan in case the first one fails. I'm like, and then focusing on Osamu's hand, I'm like, uh-oh, not a good sign.
Well, those are magnets, so he's going to use them to control him or something like that.
Probably.
So, yep. All right, yeah. It was a good chapter overall, but not the greatest. I think the war arc is kind of dragging on me a little bit right now.
Like what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the battle. You know, it's getting a little... It's overstaying its welcome, I find. Not yet, but it's getting there. It's not becoming actively annoying, but it is past the point where it's really interesting.
Well, that all depends on the actual Japanese readers.
Well, yeah. But nonetheless, I do think this series is in no danger of being canceled, but at the same time, I do feel that it is taking a little too much time at the moment with all of this, so we'll have to see. But anyway, let's move on to the Nisekoro and My Love Story crossover boys side. So it's basically Ichijo and what's his face?
Takeo,
yep. End up meeting up, they find the cat, save the cat's girlfriend, and they all end up falling into a hole together, and you've got like this moment of this manly thumbs up between Ichijo, Takeo, and the cat. And it's just like, that's funny. But, yeah, so they, basically, it's a pretty standard crossover with, you know, the characters reacting to each other. Like, in this case, Ichijo being, wait, this guy's younger than me, but he's huge. And, you know, them and Takeo reacting, you know, finding a little bit out about Ichijo's, you know, complicated situation and being like, you dirty two-timer. And so, yeah. And, of course, they're trying to get out of the hole. But, you know, it's pretty standard as far as crossovers go. You usually have that moment where it's like, you know, you got the characters interacting, reacting to each other, kind of, you know, just finding out about the other one and being like, whoa, that's weird, you know? Mm. Like, it's fairly standard. I certainly have to say the Dragon Ball and One Piece crossover was a lot more interesting just because it decided to be completely insane.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the Toriko One Piece crossover, but...
Oh, yeah.
They kind of did a similar thing.
They're hunting for some sort of meat thing. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, but anyway, they end up getting...
Oh, no, they're hunting for, like, a devil food or something.
Yeah, well, true.
In terms of the taste, like, poop. As he was.
But yeah, basically they end up getting out because the girls show up and have a rope and help them, you know, get out. And of course you've got the you know, you've got the reaction to, wait, this guy has a girlfriend and she's really super cute. And they're like, wait, so yeah, and there's also the like, oh, this is what a real boyfriend and girlfriend are like. And then of course you end it with with Takeo finding out, you know, what the situation actually is. And then he's like, this is a lot worse than two-timing. You're pathetic. He's like, it's not what you think. Which, yeah. It's kind of standard, but at the same time, it is fun seeing the sort of, you know, the characters reacting, you know, to each other's weird situations. So, yep. I liked
also,
it.
From looks of how many the new boy girls are in this, you know, minus Yui, we can pretty much determine that this was published sometime before Yui appeared.
Indeed. Yes, it was. I think I remember when it came out, and it was several months ago. maybe about a year ago. I'm pretty sure I saw the girls' side one. I can't really remember the boys' side
one. Yeah, I saw it too.
Yeah, the girls' side one will be coming out next on the 30th. So, on the issue, yeah, the week of the 30th.
That's the week one Thief Returns.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, with that one, we'll kind of
see. No, that's next week, sorry.
Yeah, that's the week after that. It's, yeah, with that one, we'll kind of, you know, we'll see, you know, we'll see if that's the same one that we remember. But, yeah, the one-shot is good because it works for the, it works for anyone that hasn't read the other series. It introduces it well enough that you can understand it. I'm not so sure whether it does that for Nisekoi because it doesn't ever flat out say what Ichijo's situation is. Well, with a My Love Story, it's a lot simpler situation. It's a guy that, a kind of goofy looking guy that has a cute girlfriend, which is a pretty straightforward situation. And so, yeah, but still, I liked it. And then we have a special preview of the first chapter of My Love Story, the digital and print release of which is on the 1st of July. So I might pick that up, perhaps.
It was all right. I read it, you know, this preview first chapter.
It was certainly enjoyable. It was interesting because it's a shoujo series, but it's from the point of view of the guy. You know, usually it's from the point of view of the girl. Like, for example, what's it called? The one with the chick that everyone says looks like the chick from The Ring.
The Wallflower?
No, well, besides that one.
Oh.
That one's just bizarre. The one, I forget.
Oh, I forgot. What was that one? You read that too.
Yeah, but you know, it usually shoujo manga that I've seen are kind of like that, where it's from the point of the girl, view of the girl, and she's like, oh, I want a boy. It's like, oh, look, I want a boyfriend kind of deal.
Isn't it The Wallflower, though?
It's not that one.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's not that one.
Because she watches horror movies and stuff.
No, no, not that one. No, this is the one with the girl that everyone says... Her name is Sawako, and everyone calls her Sadako because she looks like the girl from The Ring, but she doesn't like horror, you know?
Oh.
It's a different one. I forget what it is. But anyway, yeah, but I mean, you usually get it from the point of view of the girl. It's like, I don't have a boyfriend. Oh, look, there's a guy. He's going to be my boyfriend. Well, with here, it's more, it's, you know, it's still a shoujo, the art style is a little less... shoujo.
Oh, Kimi ni Todoke.
That's
that
the one, yes. Yeah, the art style is a little bit, I don't know, it is kind of interesting. The art style is still a shoujo art style, but has more sort of like elements from shonen comedy. So it's like, it's a kind of a bit of a mix between a shoujo series and a shonen comedy. But yeah, it's interesting so far. I mean, it's, you know, there's the whole confusion of, oh wait, the girl must like my my best friend because he's the good looking guy, and yet you kind of get the sense no she doesn't. She
I did like the part where Takeo punched that freaking Grover in the face in front of the cop, and I was like,
way to go! Now you're in jail.
Doesn't matter. He deserved it.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's definitely an interesting dynamic with how he is, you know, how he acts so weird around her, but because he doesn't realize, you know, what her intentions are. So definitely interesting enough. I don't read enough shoujo manga, so this one is funny enough that I think I might be interested in seeing it, seeing what it's all about.
Same.
So. Yeah, we'll see where things go from here. I think we might pick it up on July when it comes out. So, but for now, that's the end of the weekly Shonen Jump chapters that are officially published. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get on to the other ones. It's time for Assassination Classroom Chapter 90. And after a somewhat odd hiatus, we get the series back, and we got. Well, we got our first color spread, I think. I'm pretty sure this is
actually the first color spread. I was like, wow, 90% color spread from this series.
Yeah, and it features Koro Sensei flying alongside while Karasuma, Rina, Terasaka. Oh, what's the name of the crazy one?
The crazy one? There's a lot of crazy ones.
The one with the bazooka there.
Karma?
Karma, that's it. And what's the main character's name again?
Nagisa.
Nagisa. Okay, there we go. Jeez. This is not my fault. There's too many darn characters, okay?
Well, it's still better than trying to remember Night Negima, dang it. Is all girls, so I don't remember the heck.
I don't even try.
I can remember like a few, and then I'm like, I'm done. And the few I mean is like three. That's it. I can't remember anymore off my head like that.
I remember Asuna's name, but that's it.
Yeah.
But, all right. So this chapter is basically focused on, let's see, their
Isogai.
Isogai, the class president.
I didn't even know who's the class president at all.
I didn't know that either, but I guess I vaguely remember that being decided at some point. But, yeah, basically he's, you know, they're watching him at his job, and he's like this, you know, I guess he's basically everything he does, like, oh, what an Ikemen, and it's, you know, I guess an Ikemen is basically someone that's, you know, perfect, you know, at whatever they do. It's like a, and it specifically refers to guys, and there's a...
Think of like a butler, you know, a butler.
Something like that, yeah. A young, attractive butler is kind of what you're going for. Not the typical old butler, which for some reason Japan prefers those to the wise and smart-cracking old butlers, which I find more entertaining.
Hayate the Comet Butler, some other butler, not the main guy. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that one.
We also get a follow-up of the event from where he, the joke from where he says, after winning all those goldfish, he's like, these are going to feed us for a while. And it's like, find out that, what's his face? Another one of the characters whose names I can't remember visited him. And yeah, it turns out that his goldfish cooking was really delicious. And
yeah, and he even has a really, really... ecstatic
face.
I'm like, dang.
Yeah, I really love the way that's drawn with like just like the bulging cheeks, bulging eyes, and these like hearts on the cheeks. It's really fun. It's, I don't know, it's a really funny design there. Also, I like the jokes where, you know, some of the, where they say, oh, he does this, like he folds his toilet paper into a triangle. And then
and the other guy.
Yeah, the girls are like, oh, he's an Ikemen. And the guy's like, ah, if, you know, if it's toilet paper we're talking about, I fold it too into a triangle. And the girl's like, disgusting.
So, the thing about that one is that the way when this guy does, he does it without any intention in mind. The guy, yeah. When that other guy does it, the reason is if you look at it that way, you go, that's definitely not appropriate when you think like that.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of funny where they're, you know, it's like, oh, look at it, he's a natural lady killer. And it's like, he's an Ikemen. And then Nagisa is like, the old ladies in my neighborhood treat me like a little toy all the time, too. And the other's like, have some dignity. and then of course, the part that will be some people's favorite parts for reasons is like, oh, he still gets love letters from girls in the main building, and then the other girl's like, I still get them too. They're like, oh.
Forbidden love?
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, yeah, you know, he kind of talks about, okay, so why is it, you know, and then Koro Sensei comes in and is all, okay, so why is it when he does something, Isogai does something, he's an Ikemen, but when someone else does something, it's not good. And then, you know, and then his friend, whatever his name is, says, well, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, there you go. You know, I guess it, and I'd also say it boils down to, you know, being attractive and a nice person, you know?
Yeah, you gotta be attractive. You can be an ugly person and still be nice, but then people are looking, you go, oh my god, Quasimodo, run away. Sorry, Quasimodo, I can use you as an example. I didn't mean
that. That would be, well, speaking of Quasimodo, students from Class A show up. Yeah. I mean, seriously, these are some ugly mofos.
Also, I'm calling Class A, Class A homes.
Yeah. I'm calling.
We should have been calling them that from the very beginning, but I didn't realize. I was like, you know what? These guys appear so much and start doing stupid stuff that doesn't even, like, they think that they're all that. I'm like, you know what? I'm calling you Class A hole from now on.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a shame that they're not Class B, because then I could have called them Class Bell Tower of Notre Dame. Aha. It would make no sense, but what the hey. So, anyway, they show up and they're all, oh, hey, you know, you've already gotten in trouble for working a job because it's against school regulations. So, you know what, if you compete at this game in the class, you know, the sports festival, then we'll forget about this. So, and of course, they're like, oh, he's got he's got a plan. Which turns out to be he hires a bunch of people that I swear look like adults.
Clearly, they are not adults.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, they're all, yeah. It's like all these guys, like a Frenchman, was he Mexican or Spanish? I can't remember. And a Chinese and an American, and they're all these giants. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have them compete. Though I do, oh yeah, one other thing is like when they're all, you know, all the guys are in the class are showing their support for Isogai by, you know, clasping one of the anti-sensei daggers. I just think it would have been really funny if, you know, way to end the chapter is if Ikoro Sensei caught up in the moment, puts his hand on theirs and then it burns him and they're like, ah, wait, grab his hand and keep him, you know, stuck to the dagger and then cut him to pieces. And it's like, okay, the manga's done. He's like, wait, what? What just happened? But yeah. And I do like the ongoing joke. Like, Koro Sensei is like, as a fellow Ikemen, how shall I help him? He's like, dude.
You are so not Ikemen.
Yeah. But, yeah. It was a good chapter. Especially like that, sort of like the setup at the end where it's all, oh, hey, look, he's pulling in a bunch of foreigners to help. And I'm just like, oh dear. They are gigantic. Although I'm just...
Boy, how old are you? I'm 13. Okay, I'll believe you.
Although I just wonder if that... I wonder if that's like some kind of subconscious thing where all Japanese people think of, you know, foreigners as being these giants. Which would be kind of funny.
So they even think other Asian people are super giants too. I mean, one of them is Korean.
Yeah, which...
Then again, Japan and Korea have some sort of bad blood between them.
Just a little bit for multiple reasons.
A little bit, yeah, right.
Yeah, it might have, I don't know, maybe they're just like, oh, yeah, I have no idea why the Korean would be seen drawn the same way, but... I don't know, I think it's just this general sense of, because there aren't very many foreigners in Japan, so it's a lot easier to, you know, draw them as being these kind of unusual people in, like, their physicality. So, which, fair enough, it makes for a funny gag, but it kind of does remind me of how there's this theory that all anime and manga characters are drawn the way that the Japanese perceive Westerners to be, with the giant eyes and the weird hair colors.
I think there was a TV show for Kappa Mikey that kind of did something like that.
Yeah, I do remember that show. That was a long time ago.
I never got to see that TV show, though.
I saw, like...
It was on Nickelodeon.
I saw parts of, like, episodes, but never bothered actually watching it. I guess the basic premise was this American goes to Japan, and they represent it by having the American be a, you know, drawn in the traditional American cartoon style, while the Japanese characters are drawn in various anime styles. So, it seemed like a clever idea, but I never actually watched it all the way through, because I was, at the time when I was not big on, you know, on watching TV. So, but yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Shokugeki no Soma, chapter 73. Alright, so... Yeah. So this one, I really like the gag with the
according
one.
According to the rankings, I don't know, but according to the rankings, I think this one's got number one for some reason.
Really?
This chapter.
Oh, gee. Well, I'm not surprised why, because it's got a really great gag with a guy that looks like a gangster, but he's this really conscientious guy who's like, okay, gonna lock my bike, cover it in a tarp, tie the tarp down, and lock that. It's like you really made me wait. It's like, hey, it's only being cautious is only natural.
I got a lock for every lock. Wait, what?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's really funny. He's like, wait, you have a license? He's like, I've got it registered with a national registry. He's like, wait, you have a license? Yeah, and so it turns out this guy is the other competitor. He embroidered his name into the leather jacket and is like, wait, that embroidery is like, no, I did it myself, of course. So this image of this big, rough-looking guy with like a sewing kit is embroidered.
Reminds
his
me
name.
Of Kanji from Persona 4. The way is, he has a thing for sewing, apparently.
Yeah, I kind of see that. Yeah, I really see that. Yeah, so, right, well, the theme for this chapter, for this cooking battle, is going to be one that our American listeners can really dig their teeth into. It's hamburgers.
America.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, then every American reader immediately rebels against the reveal. Oh, it's like, wait, do they reveal exactly... Oh, yeah, they start going on about, oh, hey, he's going to do a kebab burger. And immediately I'm like, that's not a burger, that's a kebab.
Doing that kebab.
Cheater. That doesn't count. Okay?
He's going to put a kebab in the burger and call it a kebab. Wait.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like they go on about how, oh, the meat cooked with the way it is with the doner kebab melts the flavor of the fat and spices together. And I'm just sitting here thinking, yeah, but it's not a burger. It's a kebab. Just because you change the type of bread doesn't make a difference, you know? It's the meat that matters. And anyway, yeah, I do like the bit where everyone's like, how's Hishoko doing? And she's like, that nickname's catching on. And yeah. Oh, yeah, and I remember that bit where we find out that she's doing a turtle burger with a soft-shell turtle, and that very graphically
a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference. Oh, good grief, man.
Insert the sound of me barfing because they show
her. I think
the
Shredder's probably watching this somewhere. He's like yes. I like it. I will eat this. I'm like, no, get away from us.
It's like, tonight I dine on turtle burgers. That sounds delicious. No, but like I was saying, it's in very graphic detail. Do we see the butchering with the neck being cut off? And I was like, oh, jeebus.
Yeah, when you look at the neck and how the turtle's neck looked and the way she cuts it and you think in sort of deeper meaning, you're like, if you're a guy, you'll understand that. You'll understand what I mean. I don't need to say. If you're a guy, that's all I got to say.
I don't even need to... You know, I don't even need to say to think of it like that. It's just seeing a turtle getting its head cut off, and then the blood drained, and then the guts pulled out, and I'm like, ew, gross. And of course, the creepy stalker girl is like, oh, that's so awesome. I'm like, gosh darn, this is disgusting. Moving on. But
Ten with wife still.
Yes, but nonetheless, we also find the guy that he's all, oh, he's memorized everything about everyone, and. He's watching Takumi, sort of like just from the corner, and he's going on about everything he knows about him. Like, oh, okay, he's creepy again. Gross.
Well, first he started with Soma, and then he went into Aldini. Yeah,
Yeah, that was kind of like, oh dear. Oh, hey, I didn't.
Why is this chapter number one in Japan, if it is?
Apparently they like watching animals getting butchered, which, I mean, I'm always down to watch a fish get filleted. But at the same time, this chapter made me a little uncomfortable. So it's losing 3 points on, in my opinion, already. Just because I'm nasty.
Well, I kind of wonder how the heck a turtle burger even worked in the first place.
I mean, just the same way you do with a regular burger.
I mean, in some Asian countries, people do eat turtles.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure in non-other Asian countries that aren't the USA, for instance, people do eat turtles. But I know for sure that somewhere people do eat turtles. I forget where, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm sure it tastes just fine.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure it tastes just fine, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, ugh.
Well, people do, in some Asian countries, people eat frog legs, and they, according to it, tastes like chicken. So, who knows?
Yeah,
turtle might actually taste like beef.
We actually do, we do eat frog legs in the U.S. too, you know? Like in the South. They eat frog legs there, like bullfrogs.
Yeah, they eat crawfish too, and something about suck the head is like...
Well, crawfish crawfish is basically shrimp. Essentially, and they also eat frog legs in France, of course, because hence the frogs insult. But
I didn't even know that.
You didn't?
I thought they just eat snails.
They eat and frog legs. It's kind of what they're famous for. But yeah, all right.
I can never eat a frog. I can never eat an octopus.
I don't know. I mean, I've eaten squid. Squid's good.
No.
Octopus is probably good, but. Anyway.
Nothing with tentacles. Nothing with tentacles. Heck no.
You're like, I don't know what it I don't want to know what it will do to my insides.
But you're Asian. No, I'm not eating it.
And just from you like, it's like, come on, eat some octopus. Taste it. It's like, okay, you taste it. And then from the inside of your gut, you suddenly hear this, yeah.
That's like, not even it. No. I've seen a video where I saw a family eating live. Baby octopus, and I was like,
you don't have to eat it live. That's just crazy people that do that.
Korean.
Well, I've heard that's not a great idea because apparently people have died doing that because...
Of course, eat something live. It'll try and get it out.
The octopus kind of basically stickers to the side of the throat and is all, oh, I'm not going... Though I imagine that's probably mostly a problem if you eat it the wrong way around. You know, if you try to eat it tentacle first, it kind of like it can spread out and get stuck. But if you do it like head first, suckers are on the inside and it would be like constricted enough to the point that, you know, you could get it down. I imagine that has to be the way that you safely eat it.
That's into the point. If it's not dead, don't eat it.
Pretty much, yeah. That goes for fish and donkeys as well.
What?
I don't even know if this is true, but according to the internet, so take it with a pile of salt, there's places in China where they do you know how in Japan they have the whole take a live fish and turn it into sushi so you eat it while it's still technically alive? Apparently there are places in China where they do the same thing, but with donkeys.
I guess the donkey got overpopulated over there and they decided...
Or maybe they just really hate donkeys. Like, screw you, donkey.
Where donkey from Shrek beware?
It's like, you were the worst part of the Shrek movies. Ah, what did I do? No, but...
Eddie Murphy, run away.
Yeah, again, that is one of those... It was on the internet, but, you know... Whether it's actually true, who knows?
So don't eat blowfish unless it's really cooked well, otherwise you'll die. Okay, let's move on from that part. I don't want to talk about that.
This is getting nasty. Let's talk about Fairy Tale Chapter 388.
Yes.
So Wendy does the whole, I will cut my hair to show how serious I am, and yet there's no build-up to it. And I'm like, wait, why is she cutting your hair? Why is that necessary?
See, what's the stopper? Because she had a reason why.
Yeah, you know, it was holding her back kind of thing. But here, I mean, did part of it get cut before? I can't remember.
It kind of got cut in that battle with what's-his-name, I think.
Okay, yeah, because that's kind of what I was seeing there, and so that makes sense. But, you know, it's like she hasn't mentioned it at all. I mean, granted, we don't want her being like, oh, my hair! But at the same time, you're sort of like, a slight reminder of what the heck's going on. It's been a couple weeks. Might be useful, but...
Yeah.
We know why it really happened. Mashima wanted to draw a new... wanted to have a new design for Wendy.
So, again.
No, she's only had one design overall so far.
Why can't he just age her like the others?
Well, because I don't know, but yeah. So she's got the short hair. That kind of, she kind of reminds me of what's her face? That one. Not from this series. The girl from was it Shinobu from Love Hina?
Really?
It kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Huh.
But anyway, as we all know, of course, if Mashima changes his mind, he can just decide, hey, magic, hair's back. Like he did with Juvia.
Wind? Wind?
Yeah, she cut it with wind. But yeah, so this chapter is one of those ones where, I mean, you get the fight between Minerva and Urza, and Minerva's outfit reminds me quite a bit of the outfits in Kill la Kill.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With just, like, the...
Have you seen it yet?
No, but I've seen screenshots of it.
Oh.
But it's screenshots of the things people would want to take screenshots of, oddly enough. But, yeah, you know, with the whole leaving a lot of boobage uncovered, covering only the essential parts, but... Yeah, we also get a flashback for Minerva where when she was being trained by her father and her father was kind of an asshole.
Her father's still an asshole.
And of course, he is quite possibly a pedophile rapist. I am convinced that he is because it seems like the whole strip-down punishment has been an ongoing theme with him because when Minerva doesn't do well enough in the training, he has her stripped down, and then he leaves her in the middle of the forest and says, once your tears have dried, you may return. And thank goodness this is, like, the one time that Mashima decides to show to be tasteful. He doesn't actually show her unclothed. All you see is the shadow silhouette, which... still shows, yeah, she is now no longer wearing clothes, but at the same time doesn't actually show anything. So, thank you. I could have done with you suddenly discovering tact and taste around the time you were having naked Urza be tortured, but now it works as well. Thank you.
Do it one more time, Ashman, and I will stop being very good.
Oh, come on. You know, granted, this is really uncomfortable, but it's meant to be frickin' uncomfortable, you know? It's not meant to be, oh, look at how uncomfortable this is. By the way, it's totally okay if you jack off to this. Like some other manga do, you know?
God, I hate those.
Like, for example, Tenjo Tenga, where it's like, oh, look at how horribly, oh, look at how awful this person is. He's raping this girl. And, oh, by the way, if you want to beat it to this, feel free, because I've drawn her in a very hypersexualized way, and I'm just like, you're scum. That is all there is to it. You're scum, and anyone that enjoys this is scum. So, fortunately, Mashima knows when uncomfortable needs to be uncomfortable. Sometimes. And in this case, this was one of those cases. Fortunately, we don't linger on that as, of course, we continue with yours. It's like, oh, look, motivational speech.
And then punch you in the face.
And then Minerva's like, oh, hey, I am now going, I'm doing a heel turn where it's like, you know what? I am not so evil as I was, now kill me. But, yeah, and then Mardgear shows up and is about to kill her. But then she gets saved by Rogue and Sting. For some reason.
They just appear out of nowhere.
I mean, granted, aren't they like in the... granted, they are kind of, you know, in the same town. We kind of forget that, but... was it Sabretooth? Yeah, it's Sabretooth. They're in the same town. So,
oh, yeah. Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it would be kind of weird if they weren't like, our town just got destroyed. Let's go see what the hell's going on. But still, it would have been nice if we had seen, like, a moment where, you know, like, maybe seen their guild during the destruction. And, you know, just something to introduce them to the story before they're suddenly just appearing out of nowhere with no real reason to want to save Minerva.
Also, okay, I read the chapter before, but I started to read online a little bit about it because something that I didn't catch before the way Mark Gear's hair looks and the way Rogue's hair look, do you recall future Rogue's hair style?
It does kind of look like that, yeah.
And according to what future Rogue said, a year afterwards, what's his name, Fro was supposed to die or something.
Huh. I don't think it's Froge, it's Frosh.
Frosh.
Yeah, but...
Frog,
okay,
mean.
Yeah, okay. That would be interesting. That would be interesting if that
so basically
is what
the theory
happens.
That Mark Gear will probably merge with Rogue in some way.
Okay, I can see that. That would be interesting. But, yeah, also...
But then that feature is destroyed, so it may not happen, but we don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It might try to bring it back in another way. But, yeah, also, hey, look, Minerva's not a bad guy anymore. It happened. He is incapable of not doing this. This is silly.
I knew it was going to happen. I still groan because I deserve the right to groan because I've been expecting that.
Yeah, that's quite silly. Oh well.
Let's see if he kind of redeems his demons. Female demon.
Yeah, we'll have to. Oh, geez. That would be hilarious if he did.
It's like all of a sudden the meme of fairy tale is every female villain gets redeemed. What about the guys? Oh, no, the guys suck. We don't want the guys.
Yeah, no, screw the guys.
Screw the guys. No, don't screw the guys. Screw the girl.
No, don't. That will take this to a level that we don't want it to be at. But...
Moving on.
Yep, moving on to Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 81. So, yeah, this was a...
Okay, this chapter was, how do I say? At first, when I read it, I was like, okay. And then I was like, wait, suddenly Guild Thunder is good? What?
Yeah, that didn't make much sense because I mean the chapter introduced the whole idea of, you know, how much Gil Thunder admired Meliodas and everything, and you know, and so what's her name? Not Elizabeth.
Margaret.
Margaret, that's it. Yeah, I was trying to think of like
sister that's not dead.
I was like, it's an old timey British name, but Victoria.
No, Margaret, you fool.
Yeah. But yeah, so that kind of introduces the whole idea of, oh, hey, Gil Thunder actually, you know, considers Meliodas' hero. And so you're like, oh, what's this all about? But then you got that weird scene where Meliodas uses his powers to cut some kind of monster thing that was right next to Margaret. Mm-hmm. And that somehow frees... And somehow that frees Gil Thunder.
From his so-called... What?
I don't know what's going on. I guess he was like, that creature thing was being used to control him. Or something. I'm not entirely sure what exactly is going on there. Because this is something that was never introduced before, so...
I mean, there was that one part when Margaret first appeared and she was saying, don't let me out or whatever. I'm like, why... Something about Gil Thunder, she said. I'm like, okay. Why?
Yeah. I see, this is the problem with reading series on a weekly basis. You have to go back and reread it to understand what the hell is going on. But I think I know what might be going on. That creature, whatever it was basically there as a guard for Margaret. You know, kind of like, if you do anything, you know, Gil Thunder, if you turn against us, this creature will murder your beloved princess, kind of thing. I think that's what was going on. Okay, you know, because it doesn't, at first I was like, oh, he's being mind controlled, which wouldn't make any sense. Why would the thing that was mind controlling him be next to Margaret? But the more I think about it, that actually makes sense, especially because where she mentions... You know, it was like the mentions the promise to protect her for the rest of his life. And, you know, she mentions, I never knew how painful a spell that would put you under. As for 10 years, you would lie to yourself and mutilate your soul on my behalf. And so you're sort of thinking, oh, wait, okay, so spell as in he's enchanted? No, rather more the figurative, not a literal magic spell, but more, you know, this is a figurative magic spell, for example, like... because when it mentions that he would lie and mutilate his soul on her behalf, meaning that he doesn't want to go against Meliodas. However, he's doing it for her, so what about her is it that's causing him to do this? Well, if her life was in danger, from, you know, some kind of a monster thingy, then that would make sense, you know? Mm. So I'm pretty sure that's what's going on, even if it wasn't 100% explained. It does make sense. It does, you know, it does make sense in terms of her saying, hey, keep me here because it's dangerous, you know, if she is being, she's possessed by some kind of demonic spirit.
Or yeah, I was thinking that instead.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, something that would kill her if, you know, Gil Thunder stepped out of line, which that makes sense, okay? Because, I don't know, at first I was thinking, oh, he was mind-controlled? Wait, that was never introduced. What the heck? But now that makes a lot more sense, you know?
It's theory, but I won't just go with that.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So okay. That makes this a lot much more enjoyable chapter. At first I was like, oh, this was weird and dumb, but now looking back on it, suddenly I'm like, oh, wait, that, no, that makes sense. Okay, that was a good chapter.
It does explain the chapter title, in a way.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, so overall, yeah, at first I thought it wasn't going, I didn't enjoy the chapter as much, but actually discussing it helped me enjoy it more. So, see, people, This is why you podcast, because, or, you know, listening to a podcast, you can hear other opinions and change your mind about things. Doing a podcast, you get to change your own mind.
Yep.
So, yep, that's fun. All right, well, that's the rest of the chapters. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, sadly, there's nothing else to say for these chapters. That's
it. Indeed.
Sad now.
Yeah, well, this was a pretty good week. I mean, the lack of One Piece kind of sucked, but...
Still. Well, next week there won't be Toriko.
But we get One Piece instead.
I'll be honest, I really won't mind missing Toriko for a while, because missing One Piece for 2 weeks is kind of... I was like, okay, it's One Piece, I can deal with it. I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, I definitely want One Piece back, so that's good stuff. But, yeah, so, alright. I think that's it, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 101 Dalmatians, for the week of June 16th, 2014. I was your main host, Derek, and I was joined by my co-host, Mo.
Wait, I'm totally confused. Okay, yeah, hello.
Yeah, we're finishing. I just thought I'd, you know, be more official about it. But, yeah, this week we discussed One Piece volumes 43 through 45, and after this review, we will be taking a short break from One Piece. One second. I had to sneeze.
Okay.
Yep, sorry there. But, yeah, like I was saying, One Piece volumes 43 through 45, they were amazing, of course, and we won't need to discuss One Piece more in the future, but for now, I need to take a slight break, review some of the manga that I already own, and then get back to buying the rest of One Piece, because having 45 volumes of One Piece, I never thought that I would do that. I don't know. I never felt like I didn't have a lot of One Piece, even though I had only, like, the first 20 volumes, but now I've more than doubled my collection.
Yeah.
So I kind of... Pardon. Yeah, I need to take a quick break and just buy some more. Also, we need to clear our, you know, sort of like clear our palate from constantly reviewing One Piece. We need to talk about some other manga as well, and possibly maybe some comics that aren't manga but have something related to manga going on in them. You will see what we're talking about, cuz yeah, I mean, granted, we, you know, our focus needs to be on manga, but there are times where I think I'd like to just, you know, talk about a non-manga comic. You know, I don't want to make this a manga and comics podcast, but at the same time, I kind of feel like it would be nice to take some, you know, to take some other comics and talk about them. So we'll see what happens. For now, we're sticking with manga. But let's see, what else do we have? Okay, I think it's time for us to talk about the author comments, shall we?
Yes, about time.
Yes, yes it is. All right, starting with Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto, we saw the Japan Air Defense Force Aerobatic Team Blue Impulse for my studio. My whole family got super excited.
I'm guessing they're the equivalent of our Blue Angels here, right?
I think so, yeah. That was my first thought.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, huh, they got their own Blue Angels. Okay.
Yep.
Toriko's right. Mitsutoshi, well, if he saw that, I hope that if he... No, I don't want him to do an Aviator manga story.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, a manga... Doesn't really matter who it's by, but a manga about, you know...
I do want to actually
fighter pilots?
Yes, that would be freaking awesome.
Yeah, although, you know, kind of like, yeah, the Top Gun of, or was it something, I don't know, whatever it was, of manga. Or they could possibly, you know...
I was referring to giant robots.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, I was almost thinking maybe they could do like a, you know, a space fighter pilot manga, but at the same time I'm thinking no robots, just airplanes, please. But yeah, you know, the thing about Kishimoto is he's a talented guy, he needs to finish the story that he's on because he's getting ideas that don't fit the story. So anyway, yep, next one.
Okay, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shinbukuro. My staff gave me some Mamushi Zake Pit Bat Bit
Viper
liquor, so I'll drink it when I'm really tired. That's right now.
He's like, I'll drink it all.
Alright. Like, okay.
Yeah. We've got World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. With the anime announced, I have so much work to do. I'm busy, but this is the most fulfilling time in my life.
I still did not know that the anime was announced even last week.
Do you think he's excited? You know? He's just been talking about nothing but the anime for the last 3 weeks, so I think he might be excited. I don't know, okay. Even though I hated his manga to start off, well, I liked it at first, then I hated it, and now I like it and almost love it. I don't know, I feel this kind of kinship with him almost, since he's pretty much a brand new manga artist. And so I'm just thinking, your journey feels like the journey I want to take, except with books, not manga.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, all right, next one.
Nisekoi, now she called me. I secretly went to the Nisekoi-only shop in Akiba. It was a little awkward, but I was blown away.
Is the Nisekoi-only shop?
I don't think you should be awkward. I think the awkward person is probably the person who actually owned the shop. They're like, wait a second.
Like, wait, what on earth would they be selling? That's weird. Okay.
Nisekoi stuff?
Yeah.
No, the thing is, they wouldn't know that it's Nashikomi that went there, unless they actually had like a picture of the person. But it'd be a very early picture, and even then, they might have changed in the years.
Yes, true. All right, next one. Hunter x Hunter, Yoshihiro Togashi's. My desk was a mess, so I cleaned it up, but now I can't find anything.
I almost thought he was gonna rhyme with it. My desk was a mess, so I confess.
That wouldn't make any sense. He's writing in Japanese.
That's true.
You'd have to be some kind of genius to be able to rhyme in English while writing Japanese and have it make sense.
A genius to rhyme in every friggin' language.
At the same time. Alright, next one.
Impossible. I mean, Bleach is Tite Kubo. I went to see nature. The imagery was so incredible that I fell asleep. What?
Sure, that's why. You silly person.
He doesn't want to admit it was pretty boring, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah. All right, Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. The new updates to the Terraria game are so awesome that it's as if I'm playing Terraria 2.
That's ironic. I think just bought Terraria on my Steam.
I have it, and I feel like I should play it sometime.
I tried playing it just today, but you know what happened?
What?
I don't know how to mine the ground.
You suck.
Freaking pick at the ground. Like, the pickaxe is not going at the ground.
Yeah.
Try throwing it, it doesn't work either.
Yep.
Like, no, pickaxe, comes back, come back.
All right, then. Let's talk about the rankings. All right, for fourth place, let's see, fourth place, I say Bleach.
I say World Trigger.
Okay. I say Bleach because, I don't know, I really liked it, but, you know, it's not my favorite. So, yep. Why World Trigger?
It was good. I mean, it had, like, the whole, you know, we had the setup in the last chapter. They're fighting, and the fights are still going. Usual fight stuff and little, I guess, a little bit of some information about what's going on behind it. Well, not behind it, more like what's to come in the future, basically. But still not enough to be third for me.
Yeah, definitely. All right, my number three is, I'd say, World Trigger.
Okay.
Just because, you know, it was just, I liked it. It didn't really stand out, but it stood out more than Bleach did, I find. So, what was your number three?
Bleach.
Oh, dear. What's going on here?
I don't know. I liked it. I mean, maybe because of one moment, but...
Yeah, I guess. But, all right. My number two is Toriko.
Oh, okay.
It was really funny, you know, and also the revelation that we're going to be going after the big meal, the salad, this time. So that'll be a lot of fun. What's your number two?
Hunter.
Okay. Yeah. See, I couldn't put that in there because I have no idea what's going on.
Well, ironically, I don't have an idea what the idea is going on, but reading some of the stuff on the wiki, I guess, kind of gave me an idea. But it's more like because the crew. It's kind of Kurapika because,
right?
Holy crap, he grew.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if he grew in the previous arc or whatever, but man, he's definitely growing because I remember in the flashback about him, he was definitely like the same age when he first appeared in the series.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and it'll figure because it kind of brings back the two of the three main characters, Leorio and Kurapika, back into some way.
Yeah.
And kind of gives Kurapika a chance to, like, you know, maybe wrap up his part of the story. Because what he wants is the crimson eyes of his brethren.
Yeah, so.
So the Dark Continent himself has.
Yep, well, yeah, we'll have to see.
The blood shed will be shed, and it won't be the eyes this time.
Yes. All right, well, my number one is Nisekoi for the week.
Same here.
Yeah, it was just really funny and also really, really interesting and exciting.
Totally crazy right there.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what exactly happens and what they do. So, well, yeah, we'll kind of have to see from there. Mm-hmm. All right, and I think that wraps things up. So anyone have any questions or comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @burninglizard. And any questions or comments are read on the air. But for now, we shall take our leave. And all of you have a great week. We will see you all next week. And remember, the manga is always better.
One Piece returns next week. Toro goes off next week.
Yay, it's a trade I'm willing to make.
And my birthday next week. The office will see his birthday too.
Yay. All right, we'll see you all later.
Bye.